ജയ വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയശരണാനന്ദം ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയില പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി ജയം നത്തിലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയില പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി അനന്തോരി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദക്ക് നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീഅദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദിഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട് ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുപുരിധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരിധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരിധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഓ പ്രേമാനന്ദേ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് നമോഷപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണേ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ
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 ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്തസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനാശലാകയാ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീലിതാംഗേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടാം സ്ഥാപിതാം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാന്തികം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണ രഘുനാഥാന്വിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനാസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹഗണ ലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതാംശ്ച നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നിതിനാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതിദേവൻ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണേ നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തി സിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി നാമിനേ ശ്രീ വർഷവാനവി ദേവി ദൈതായ കൃപാർദയേ കൃഷ്ണ സംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ദായിനേ പ്രഭവേ നമാം മാധുര്യോജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗഭക്തിത ശ്രീ ഗൗരകരുണാ ശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീ മൂർത്തയേ ദിനധാരിണി രൂപാനുഗ വിരുദ്ധാപ സിദ്ധാന്തധ്വാന്തഹാരിണേ നമോ ഗൗരകിഷോരായ സാക്ഷാത് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയെ വിത്രലംബരസാംബോധേ പദാംബുജായതേ നമഃ നമോ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനേ ഗൗരശക്തിസ്വരൂപായ രൂപനുഗവരായതേ ഗൗരാവിർഭവഭൂമേസ്ത്വം നിർദ്ദേഷ്ട സജ്ജനപ്രിയ വൈഷ്ണവ സാർവഭൗമ ശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായ തേ നമാം വാഞ്ചകൽപ്പതിരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാ സിന്ധുഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ മഹാവദന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമ പ്രദായ തേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യ നമേ ഗൗരത്വിഷേ നമാം പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശാത്വികം ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ ജയദാം സുരദോപാംഗോർ മമ മന്ദമദീർഗതി മത്സർവസ്വദാം ഭോജോ രാധാ മദനമോഹനോ ദിവ്യവൃന്ദാരണ്യ കൽപദ്രുമാല ശ്രീവന്ദത്നാകര സിംഹാസനസ്ഥോ ശ്രീശരാധാശീല ഗോവിന്ദദേവോ പ്രേഷ്ടാലിഭി സേവ്യമാനോ സ്മരാമി ശ്രീമന്രാസരസാരംഭി വംശീ വടതടസ്ഥിത കർഷൻ വേണുസ്വനേർഗോപേർ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്രീയസ്തു നാഹം തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനീശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಓಂ ಪಾರ್ಥಾಯ ಪ್ರತಿಬೋಧಿತಾಂ ಭಗವದಾಂ ನಾರಾಯಣೇನ ಸ್ವಯಂ ವ್ಯಾಸೇನ ಗ್ರಥಿತಾಂ ಪುರಾಣ ಮುನಿನಾಂ ಮಧ್ಯೆ ಮಹಾಭಾರತಂ ಅದ್ವೈತಾಮೃತ ವರ್ಷಿಣೀ ಭಗವತೀಂ ಅಷ್ಟಾದಶಾಧ್ಯಾಯಿನೀಂ ಅಂಬ ತ್ವಾಮನುಸಂಧದಾಮಿ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತೇ ಭವದ್ವೇಷಿಣೀಂ ನಮೋಸ್ತು ದೇ ವ್ಯಾಸ ವಿಶಾಲ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಉಲ್ಲಾರವಿಂದಾಯತ ಪತ್ರ ನೇತ್ರ ಯೇನ ತ್ವಯಾ ಭಾರತ ತೈಲಪೂರ್ಣ ಪ್ರಜ್ವಾಲಿತೋ ಜ್ಞಾನಮಯ ಪ್ರದೀಪಾಂ ಪ್ರಪನ್ನ ಪಾರಿಜಾತಾಯ ತೋತ್ರ ವೇತ್ರೈಕಬಾಣೈ ಜ್ಞಾನ ಮುದ್ರಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಗೀತಾಮೃತ ದುಹೇ ನಮಃ ಸರ್ವೋಪನಿಷದೋ ಗಾವೋ ದೋಗಾ ಗೋಪಾಲ ನಂದನ ಪಾರ್ಥೋ ವಲ್ಸ ಸುದೀರ್ಘೋಕ್ತಾ ದುಗ್ಧಂ ಗೀತಾಮೃತಂ ಮಹದ್ ವಸುದೇವ ಸುತಂ ದೇವಂ ಕಂಸಚಾನೂರಮರ್ದನಂ ದೇವಗೀ ಪರಮಾನಂದಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ವಂದೇ ಜಗದ್ಗುರುಂ ಭೀಷ್ಮದ್ರೋಣತಟಾ ಜಯದ್ರತಜಲ ಗಾಂಧಾರ ನೀಲೋಲ್ಪಲ ಶಲ್ಯಗ್ರಾಹವದೀ ಕೃಪೇಣ ವಹನಿ ಕರ್ಣೇನ ವೇಲಾಕುಲ ಅಶ್ವತ್ಥಾಮಾವಿಕರ್ಣ ಘೋರಮಗರ ದುರ್ಯೋಧನಾವರ್ತಿನಿ ಸೌತೀರ್ಣ ಖಲು ಪಾಂಡವೈರಣ ನದಿ ಕೈವರ್ತಕ ಕೇಶವ ಪಾರಾಶರ್ಯವಜಸ್ಸರೋಜಮಲಂ ಗೀತಾರ್ಥ ಗಂಧೋಲ್ಕಟಂ ನಾನಾಖ್ಯಾನ ಗಗೇಸರಂ ಹರಿಗದಾ ಸಂಬೋಧನಾಭೋದಿತಂ ಲೋಕೈ ಸಜ್ಜನ ಶಲ್ಪದೈರಹರಹ ಪ್ರೀಯಮಾನಂ ಮುದಾ ಭೂಯಾತ್ ಭಾರತ ಪಂಕಜ ಕಲಿಮಲ ಪ್ರಧ್ವಂಸಿನ ಶ್ರೇಯಸೇ ಮೂಗಂ ಕರೋದಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಕುಂ ಲಂಘಯದೇ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯಲ್ಕೃಪಾದಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಪರಮಾನಂದ ಮಾಧವಂ ಯಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ವರುಣೇಂದ್ರ ರುದ್ರಮರುದಸ್ತ್ವನ್ವಂದಿ ದಿವ್ಯೈಸ್ತವೈರ್ ವೇದೈ ಸಾಂಗಮದೇ ಕ್ರಮ ಉಪನಿಷದೇ ಗಾಯಂತಿ ಯಂ ಸಾಮಗಾಃ ಧ್ಯಾನಾವಸ್ಥಿತ ತದ್ಗದೇನ ಮನಸಾ ಪಶ್ಯಂತಿ ಯಂ ಯೋಗಿನೋ ಯಸ್ಯಾನ್ನಂ ನ ವಿದುಸುರಾ ಸುರಗಣೈ ದೇವಾಯ ತಸ್ಮೈ ನಮಃ What we talked last Sunday was this, our Brahmana, who is Jatabharata, he is replying Rahugana, explaining to him, whatever he has spoken so far does not make any sense from the viewpoint of the realized souls. From their viewpoint, what Rahugana was talking has no meaning. We came to this, that's the situation on the 13th verse in the 10th chapter. That's where we stopped. Unmatta matta jadaval sasamstam gadasya me veera chigil sidena artha kriyar bhavada shikshidena stabdha pramatyasya vija pishta pesha Unmatta matta jadaval sasamstam. That is his situation. Jadabharata's situation is Unmatta matta jadaval sasamstam. Unmatta means one who has gone crazy. Crazy means from our viewpoint it's crazy, not from their viewpoint. We consider them as crazy because they don't care for the body anymore. That is Unmattam. ഉന്മത്തമത്ത ജഡവസ് സ്വ സംസ്ഥാം വൈ സിറ്റുവേറ്റഡ് ഇൻ ദി പ്ലാറ്റ്ഫോം ഓഫ് ദ സെൽഫ് ദെയർഫോർ ദിസ് സിറ്റുവേഷൻ കംസ് ഇൻ ഭക്തി ഓൾസോ ദിസ് ഈസ് എ ജ്ഞാനി സിറ്റുവേഷൻ വാട്ട് ഈസ് സ്പോക്കൺ ഹിയർ ജഡഭരത ഇസ് എ ജ്ഞാനി സോ ദാറ്റ് ജ്ഞാനീസ് പോയിന്റ് ഓഫ് വ്യൂ ഇൻ ദ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് പോയിന്റ് ഓഫ് വ്യൂ ലുക്ക് യു വിൽ സി ദ സെയിം തിങ് ഇൻ ദി ഏകാദശ സ്കന്ധം മെൻഷൻസ് വാട്ട് ഹാപ്പൻസ് ടു ഡിവോട്ടി ഇൻ ദി ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് ഡിസ്കഷൻ ബിറ്റ്വീൻ ദി നിമി ആൻഡ് നവയോഗി you will see the same thing spoken for a devotee also. Devotee in the advanced stage, what will happen to him? The same unmattam will come there. Madness. You can see that in the second chapter, the 11th canto. In the second chapter, you will see where Kavi Maharshi says there, that the evam brada swapriya nama kirtyam verse 40 kavi's reply evam brada swapriya nama kirtya jada nirago druda citta mucchaihi hasatya doro didi raudigayan unmadavan mrtyadi loka bahya unmadam that unmadam means this unmattam ഉന്മാദം ഉന്മത്തം ഇറ്റ്സ് ദ സെയിം തിങ് ഉന്മാദവൻ മൃത്യതി ലോകബാഹ്യ ഫോർ എ ഡിവോട്ടി വെൻ ഹി ഹാസ് ഗോൺ റീച്ച് ദാറ്റ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ് ഓഫ് റിയലൈസേഷൻ ദിസ് ഇസ് വാട്ട് വിൽ ഹാപ്പൻ ടു ഹിം ഏവം വ്രത സ്വപ്രിയ നാമ കീർത്യ ജാതാനുരോഗോ ദ്രുതചിത്തമുച്ചൈഹി ഹസത്യതോ രോദിതി രൗദി ഗായതി ഉന്മാദവൻ മൃത്യതി ലോകബാഹ്യം വാട്ട് വിൽ ഹാപ്പൻ ടു ഹിം ഹി ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് ദി ചാൻറ്റിംഗ് ദ ഹോളി നെയിം and attachment to Krishna has developed so strongly in him, he shouts sometimes, and sometimes he laughs, sometimes he cries, and sometimes he sings, and sometimes he dances, as though he does not belong to this world. This is not an artificial thing. It has to happen in a natural way, like the way it happened to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rahu Mahaprabhu used to dance, and in that state he didn't care for the world, the worldly issues were not bothered, he was not concerned about the world. That is what that is. Evam brada swapriya nama kirtya jada anurago druta chitta mucchaihi, that because of attachment for the knowledge of the self or realization of Krishna, this happens to a devotee, this happens to a jnani. There is no question about it. It happens in both cases. It ends up in the same situation. Loka Bahya. That is what the Bhagavatam is saying. Loka Bahya means no more concerned about this world. He has gone outside this world. The world, formalities of this world does not bind him anymore. We always worry about the formalities of this world. What will happen? How the world will think about us if we act like that. But here, a situation develops in their life that they cannot be bothered about this world anymore. The world is not a binding factor. That's what he's saying here. Evam brada swapriya nama kirtya jada anurago druta chitta mucchaihi hasatyado rodidi raudi gayadi unmadavan mrtyadi lokabahya unmadavan mrtyadi lokabahya. That unmadam, that is what he's saying here also. That same unmadam madness that comes to Jadabharata. It has come to Jadabharata. That's what he was mentioning here. That unmattamattavas unmattamatta jadavalsa samstham gadasyame veerachigil sidena arthakriyar bhavada shikshidena stabdha pramatyasya pishavesha. It is in that state, he says, Jadabharata says, I am in that state and you want to treat me for that. He's saying, he says, what kind of treatment can you give it to me for this? So you can see here that the unmadavan mrtyadi lokabahya, that the already I am dead, he says. When he says that, his ahankaram is completely gone away from inside. I am already dead, and there, what is there to correct now? It's already dead. That means here death means that ego has died. Ego has died. That is what we are actually. In this world, there's so many egos floating around. Is it not? When the egos die, that person is finished then. Then there is no more that individual ego does not operate anymore. And similarly, the birth of that ego is the birth also. And death of the ego is the death. So, ordinary, as I mentioned last Sunday also, that in ordinary death, our false ego won't die. Normal death, ordinary people, when they die, what happens is it dissolves, like in the deep sleep. It dissolves. But it will not get destroyed. It will not get destroyed. Because if it is dissolved, it will wake up again. Only if it is destroyed, it won't come back. So, therefore, what they're saying is, just like we can see that in everyday life, every day. In the night time, when you go into deep sleep state, it dissolves. And in the morning, when you wake up, it is back again. Is it not? It's the same thing that happens at the time of death also. When we die, the gross body goes away. Ahankaram is dissolved in the subtle body. It's dissolved in the Karana Shariram. And in the next body, when it accepts, immediately it comes back. The Karana Shariram start transferring all the files into the subtle body. In that process, ego also comes in. And then we start another bodily identity, another life altogether. Because Ahankaram is not dead. Ahankaram is not dead. So, but in this situation, what has happened now? Ahankaram is died. There is no more Ahankaram left in him. In Jadabharata, that's what he's saying here. So, samstham means death. Samstham. So, samstham cha tasya me. That because I am dead, because the death of this ego, I am dead, and therefore it is over now. It cannot happen again. Therefore, but even though it is like that, because prarabdham is not finished, therefore it is still influencing this body. Prarabdham is not over. Ahankaram died inside. So that is why that body is floating around still in this world. Body is floating around. So such a person who is already liberated, because once the Ahankaram is gone, then he is liberated. He is liberated. Even though that prarabdham does not affect him in reality, it only affects this body, that it will not leave till that prarabdham is over, the body won't drop off. Body won't drop off. So, therefore what happens? That he has to live in this world, even though he's not doing anything, the body is doing certain things according to the situation. Body may be acting in this world, but he does not know that he is doing it. He has no connection with it. Body is doing various things. And they gave this example, what we talked last Sunday also, that when the moon rises, we experience the moonshine in the night. But during the daytime, when the sun rises, and sun is shining very well, with the good sunshine, at that time the moon is still there in the sky, but we don't experience the moon. It is the same situation, that that we can't see the moon at night in the day because of the presence of the sun. Similarly, the power of that sunshine is so strong, therefore nothing will happen, no effect from the moon at all. So in a similar way, one who has situated in the platform of the self, one who has realized the self, for him, even though the body is there, and even though the body is there and body is still carrying on in this world, the impact inside that person due to the ajnanam or avidya of the body does not matter to him at all. Like the moon does not have any effect on the sun, on the sunshine. Similarly, the effect of this body will not have any impact on the self, because he is situated in the platform of the self. This is that example. Only for the name's sake it is there. Only for the name's sake it is there. So, that is how it is. That's how it is. So, that keeping that body, that is what he is saying here. Unmatta matta jadavan so samstam. Unmattam. That is his. Bhagavadam is also exactly the same thing. Here Jadabharata says, as a realized jnani, he is saying this. And Kavi Maharshi is saying as a realized devotee. But the effect is the same in both cases. Shreyo margeshu bhakta adhige bahumadi janma karmani bhoyo gayan kshemani namani This is all happens to a devotee. Gayan Kshemani Namani Abhidadu Bhairam Pradrudam Pradrudalpa. He is dancing sometime when he is in that ecstatic state. When he feels Ahangaram died inside, the happiness that happens to a devotee is like that. Udyadasa Kadajil. Sometimes he screams in that ecstasy. Abhigadan Udyadasa Kadajil Kubijabirudan. Unmadiva Pranartyan. Because of that Unmadam. Pranartyan, he dances. Ayukaru Karunam Lokabahyas Chareyam. That a devotee prays to Krishna that put me into that state where my ahankaram die completely and I can dance freely in this world. Lokabahyas Chareyam. Lokabahyam means that you are not feeling any more restrictions put on you by the world. You are not feeling any kind of restrictions from the world. Unmadiva Pranartyanai Kuru Karunam. Lokabahyashareyam. Devotee says to Krishna, I want to live in this world in that way. Completely released from the grip of the gross body and the grip of this world. And the grip of this world. So that is what that Unmattamatta Jadavan Sasamstam. So even Unmattam. Unmattam means that crazy state, that unaffected by the world. And he will appear as though he has no brain. We will think like that. He has no intelligence. And I am moving around like that in this world, says Jadabharata, says like that. And you have said that you will treat me and make me feel better. Because that's how Rahugana thought, that this person is crazy, he has to be treated. So he is asking him that, can you treat a liberated person? A liberated person, what treatment is all for the one who is conditioned in the body, isn't it? One who is liberated, what are you going to treat him for? So, so he's saying here, and whichever way you want to do that with me, suppose you think that that if I am a crazy person, imagine that I am a crazy or I am a deaf or dumb person, and in that case, can you treat me? He says that, because you can't treat deafness and dumbness like that. Suppose somebody who is very deaf or dumb, and you smacked him a few times strongly, gave him a good smack, and is he going to get better? It will be the same thing, isn't it? Similarly, someone who is crazy, you try to beat him up and tell him that you act properly in the world, his madness won't go. He will still remain the mad person, isn't it? So normally people don't beat up people like that. Somebody who is crazy, what's the point in beating him? He's mad, isn't it? So so he's saying here, Janabhata is saying to him, that even if it is due to my deafness or dumbness or due to my madness, that even in that case, by your so-called punishment, I'm not going to get any way better. Therefore, that Pishtaveshanam, he said. Pishtaveshanam means that what is already ground and made into powder, you are again grinding it to make it more powder. So that is a waste of time. It's not going to grind any. You can't grind it anymore. It's already well powdered, similarly. So in the same way, a liberated soul, you can't punish him and get him into your way, get what you think is right. Because Raghunath was threatening him that I'm going to punish you and I will teach you a lesson. And I will chastise you and I will deal with you properly so that you can come to your senses. How is that possible? Because why is not possible? Because he is situated in the platform of the soul. He is not in the body anymore. If he is in the body, you can treat him. But he has left the body long ago. Though keeping all these things, he is replying this. Who? Jadabharata is replying this. That is the important thing. So you can see there in the next verse, Edavad Shri Shuka Uvacha, 14. That is verse chapter 10, verse 14. Edanuvadanuvada paribhashaya pratudirya munivara ubashamashilam ubaradanal ubaradanal meni ആത്മ്യനിമിത്തം ഉപഭോഗേന കർമാരബ്ധം വ്യപനയൻ രാജയാനുമപി തഥോവാഹം ഏതാവതനുവാദ പരിഭാഷയാ പ്രത്യുദീര്യ മുനിവര ഉപശമശീലം ഉപരതാ ആത്മ്യനിമിത്ത ഉപഭോഗേന കർമ്മ ആരബ്ധം വ്യപനയൻ രാജയാനമപി തഥോവാഹ. സീ ദാറ്റ് വേർഡ് കർമാരബ്ധം. കർമാരബ്ധം മീൻസ് പ്രാരബ്ധം. പ്രാരബ്ധം വ്യപനയൻ രാജയാനമപി തഥോവാഹ. സചാപി നെക്സ്റ്റ് വേർഡ്സ് സചാപി പാണ്ഡവേയ സിന്ധു സൗവീരപതി തത്വജിജ്ഞാസായം സമ്യക് ശ്രദ്ധയാ അധികൃത അധികാരസ്ഥത് ഹൃദയഗ്രന്ഥിമോചനം ദ്വിജവചമാശ്രുത്യ ബഹുയോഗഗ്രന്ഥസമ്മതം ത്വരയാ വരുഹ്യ ശിരസാ പാദമൂലം ഉപസ്രത ക്ഷമാഭയൻ വിഗത നൃപദേവസ്മയാ ഉവാച. ഫിഫ്റ്റീൻത് വേഴ്സ് സ ചാപി പാണ്ഡവേയ സിന്ധു സൗവീരപതി തത്വജിജ്ഞാസായം സമ്യക് ശ്രദ്ധയാ അധികൃതാധികാരസ്തത് ഹൃദയഗ്രന്ഥിമോചനം ദ്വിജവചമാശ്രുത്യ ബഹുയോഗഗ്രന്ഥസമ്മതം ത്വരയാ വരുഹ്യ ശിരസാം പാദമൂലമുപസ്രുത ക്ഷമാഭയൻ വിഗത നൃപദേവസ്മയമുവാച. He has got the word used there, upashamam. You can see mentions there. Upashamashila. Upashamashila means that one who has got this practice with upashama. Upashama means that this false ego inside us, that sometimes it will go, but sometimes it will come back again. It will come back again. Now and then it will pop up in a person. So at that time, by analyzing the knowledge of the self and by inquiring who I am, in that way you got to learn to take it out from inside. When ahankaram builds up inside, the only way to remove that ahankaram at that moment, we have to be alert or ourselves to, by inquiring, doing the self-inquiry process, who am I? In that inquiry way, you need to learn to take that ahankaram from inside. And if you do that for a long period of time, once for all, that ahankaram will disappear. Ahankaram will disappear. And then it will not come back again. That ahankaram won't come back again. That is called upashamashilam. See that word, upashamashilam? Upashamashilam means that. That you have practiced self-inquiry for a long period of time, and through that process you have learned how to control that ahankaram. Every time, ahankaram's nature is like that. It will keep coming back now and then. So at that situation, by self-inquiry and by knowledge, one is able to remove that ahankaram from inside and bring that things under control. That not allowing, so alert one has to be, and that process of self-inquiry is called upashama shilam. Upashamam shilam. Shilam means he practiced it, that is shilam. That through shilam he has got upashamam. Upashamam of the ahankaram. So such a person, he does not have to think then who I am anymore, because his ahankaram is gone. Once the ahankaram is gone, then you don't have to inquire about the self, and there is no such thought. For example, it is spoken like this, that when I'm complete coming into the consciousness of the body, when I'm thinking I'm in this body, if I'm saying that I'm not this body at that time, when I'm completely absorbed in the body, for example, when you're not conscious or alert yourself, that time you are in the body, isn't it? You feel identification with the body. At that time, it is worthwhile analyzing that I am not this body. To analyze that is important at that time. When you feel yourself trapped in the body, because 24 hours we are not in the alert state. Most of the time we are in the body. Sometimes the body understanding or bodily identity gets too strong. At that time it is important to analyze oneself and to immediately free from the body, from the grip of the body. But by doing that, you don't have to keep doing this for all times to come in the future. only up to a point. So that the moment the mind what has gone into the world outside, it has gone inwards, and completely the mind, once it has gone inside, then we don't call it as a mind anymore. When it is going out, it's called mind. When it goes in, we don't call it as mind anymore, because at that time it is Atma. Mind is not mind anymore. Mind is when it is in contact with the world outside and it's creating chittavritti inside. That's when it's called mind. But once it has gone inwards, then it is more in agreement with the Atma, with the soul, rather than with the world. That's why inward going means, inward looking or going inwards means that. So that is what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also, that the mind which is going outwardly into the world is your enemy. The mind that is going inwards is your friend with the Atma. It goes towards Atma. That means the nature of the mind at that time is not any more chittavritti. It is more in agreement with the self, with the soul. It's this energy of the soul itself is the mind. Mind is nothing but a product of the Atma. It comes from the Atma. But once it goes towards the world, it becomes mind. Because of world creates chittavritti and the mind takes that form of chittavritti. But if it goes inward, it goes in and dissolves in the Atma, that it is completely spiritual. It is completely spiritual. So, at that point, you don't have to do any more this self-inquiry. That is finished. Self-inquiry is only for this purpose, to pull the mind from the world to inwards. To inwards. So, for example, they say, because at that point, your doubt about yourself goes away. Just now, for example, at this present state, we are identifying with the body, often, isn't it? Always, quite often, we are in identification with the body. Because, what is the reason for that? Reason is this, that we have more contact with the world outside. But once this effect of the world has gone from inside, and the mind has turned inwards, gone back to the soul, at that time, then there is no need for inquiring about the self, because mind is not causing you any problems anymore. So therefore, just like we say that that once you have come to that situation, that you are Swarupam, that you are Atma, if you come to that state, then this self-inquiry process of who am I, you can give it up at that time. It's not necessary, because by then you have understood who you are. You know that you are the self, Atma, isn't it? Just like now, we can say like this, that right now, we don't have to convince ourselves that I am a man, I am a man. I don't have to keep repeating that, isn't it? Because Darwin is saying to us that Darwin's theory is that we have changed so many different bodies. From monkey, we have come to this man, as they say, whatever it may be, whatever he says. But whether Darwin says or not, I don't have to convince myself I am a man now. I'm not a monkey, I'm not a monkey, I'm not a monkey. I don't have to repeat that. Is it not? I am a man myself. I don't have, even nobody telling me, I am so fixed in that. Similarly, if you get fixed in the platform of the soul, then nobody, you don't have to keep saying, I'm not a human being, I'm not a human being, I'm not a man, I'm not a man. You don't have to say that. So, just like we say, Darwin is saying to us that you have become a human body now. Listen, you're a human being now. But because, and according to him, you come from the monkey body. So, now, do I have to say to myself that I am a man, I'm not a monkey? I don't have to. Without anybody saying anything, I am so fixed in that state. Similarly, when you go into the Atma state, the platform of the soul also, you don't have to keep saying after that, I am not human being, I am not a man, I am not a man. You don't have to repeat that. That's what he is saying here. So, similarly, one who is established in the platform of the soul, which is called Atmanishta, one who is established in the platform of the soul, him doesn't have to think about the soul anymore. He is the soul. He is the soul. He becomes that. This is the difference. It is a question of realization. It is nothing to do with, it's not a spiritual, it's not a lesson or education involved. It is like that. So, that means you have to remain in that state. You have to remain in that. And to situate it in that state is called Upashamashila. See that word there? Used ഉപശമനശീലം. ഇ സേസ് ഹിയർ ഏതാവത് അനുവാദം ഏതാവത് അനുവാദ പരിഭാഷയ പ്രത്യുദീര്യ മുനിവര ഉപശമശീലം ഉപരതാൻ ആത്മ്യനിമിത്തം ഉപഭോഗേന കർമാരബ്ധം വിപനയൻ രാജയാനമഭി തഥോ വാഹം. സോ ദിസ് ഈസ് ദി സിറ്റുവേഷൻ വിത്ത് അവർ ജടഭരത. ജടഭരത സേസ് ഹിയർ, ദെൻ ഹി സേസ് ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ് ഇഗ്നോറൻസ് ഇൻ മീ, ദാറ്റ് ഇഗ്നോറൻസ് about who I am, that is gone from me completely. Then you may ask the question, why are you carrying this palanquin then? What's the need to carry that? So, he says here, ubhavogena ubharadanyalpani nimitta ubhavogena, see that word, ubhavogena karmaradham ഉപഭോഗേന കർമാരബ്ധം വിപനയൻ രാജയാനമഭി തഥോ വാഹ. ഉപഭോഗേന കർമാരബ്ധം വിപനയൻ, ഹി സേസ് ദിസ് ബോഡി ഈസ് ദയർ ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് പ്രാരബ്ധം, ഹി സേയിങ് ദയർ. സോ ലെറ്റ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ ഡു വാട്ട് എവർ ഇറ്റ് വാണ്ട്സ് ടു ഡു വിത്ത് ദിസ് ബോഡി, വാട്ട് ഐ ഹാവ് ഗോട്ട് ടു ഡു വിത്ത് ഇറ്റ്. See, what is indicating to us is, Jadabharata has gone so far away from the body. When we look from outside, that body is moving around in this world. But he has gone from that body long ago. He has no connection with it. Only when identification is there, you suffer. When there is no identification with the body, it doesn't affect him at all. That's what he's saying here. That body is working there, that is, does not belong to me, it's material nature, prakriti. And prakriti has to pass through its prarabdham through that body, whatever that has to happen. And let that do that, what does it got to do with me? But I'm living there, without any thoughts about it, and I'm not doing anything. I'm not involved, he says. What it's indicating to us, when we do something, say we are carrying the palanquin, imagine that. We will be thinking, I am carrying it, isn't it? I am carrying it. But in our Jadabharata's case, he says, I am not carrying it. The body is carrying it. This is that difference. For example, when we say the world, right? World is not all this stones and mortar and buildings and blocks and trees and plants. That is not the world. World actually, the definition of the world is kartrutva bhoktrutvam ragadvesham. What you have to look at is this whole thing, what impact it has got in us. That is the world. You see, Acharya Swamiji mentions this in that commentary on the Ishavanishad. He says, Ishavasyamidam sarvam yat kinja jagatyam jagat. What does jagatya means? Normally when we say jagat means this whole creation, isn't it? This whole creation is not bothering me. What bothers me is the impact of this world in me. And what is that? Kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, ragam, dvesham. If these four things have gone away from me, no matter where I live in this world, it has no impact. Is it not? It makes sense, isn't it? That ragadvesham, kartrutva, bhoktrutvam. These are the four things I pick up from this world. Or this world influences me through these four things. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, attachment, aversion. If these four things are not there, whether it is stone or steel or water or fire or mountain or forest, what does it matter? It has no impact in me. The impact is only when kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, ragam, dvesham. I am the doer. When the moment I become the doer, the moment I become the enjoyer, the moment I become attachment, the moment I become aversion, that means I have been affected by the world. So actually, world means that. Kartrutva bhoktrutvam ragadvesham is called the world. Not the matter what you see here. Dead matter, what impact has it got on me? But if it is having an impact in me, that is what I have to worry about. So that is what it is saying here also, that prakriti, in this situation, because I am not involved in any of these things, I left that to prakriti. Let prakriti do whatever it wants to do with this body. So prakriti's job, leave it to prakriti. That is Jadabharata's approach. That's what he is saying here. Prakriti's job, leave that to Prakriti. Why do I should go and involve in that? He is saying here. I am sitting where I am meant to be, who I am. That means in your Swarupam, in your identity, he is situated. He is not affected by the other things. So therefore, a realized person, as far as he is concerned, material nature is separate and he is separate. They are always separate. He remains separated from the Prakriti. Prakriti remains separated from him. For a realized person. Or a jnani, you can see. For a jnani, one who does not have the realization, he will always think, I am with the world. He will go along with the world all the time. In everything he will identify. He will go and jump into everything and will become a part of it. Like we say, why did you get involved? Isn't it? He'll get involved in everything and he will become a part of the Prakriti. That is the ignorant, ajnanam. Avidya does that. So, whatever it may be, he's saying here, Rahuganam, when he heard all these things, it hit him hard inside. It touched him inside. And Shukabrahmarshi, what does he say about Raghuvana? He says here, look at that, how Shukabrahmarshi's analysis here. He says, in the 15th verse, he says, Sachabi Pandaveya Sindhu Saubirabadi Tattva Jityasayam Samyak Shraddhaya Adhigrada Adhigarastam Hridaya Grandhi Mochanam. That is it. That is, his Shraddha is good. Who? Rahugana. Shraddha is good. And therefore he says, Shraddhaya Adhigradan Adhigarastam Hridaya Grandhi Mochanam. Therefore he has got the Adhigaram for that. He is qualified for that. To receive the transcendental knowledge from Jadabharata. He is qualified for that. Shraddhaya. Why is he saying that? Look at that. He says here, Sachabi Pandaveya Sindhu Sauvirapadi. He is Sindhu Sauviram. Sindhu Sauviram is the kingdom where Rahugana is the king. He is going for what? Tattva Jityasayam. For Tattva Jityasa. That Tattva Jityasa is the important thing. First thing. Tattva Jityasa. What we are saying, that Tattva Jityasa means, Krishna has also says this in the many places in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam. Jivasya Tattva Jityasa. He says in the beginning of the Bhagavadam, isn't it? Narthayas Cheha Karmabhi. Shushosho Shraddhadanasya. You will see there in the second chapter in the first canto. Tattva Jityasa. Jivasya Tattva Jityasa. Narthayas Cheha Karmabhi. Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam. Tattva Jnanam. Tattva Jnanam. What does that mean? It is like this. When we come to spiritual life, first thing is, we need to have a very clear understanding of where do we stand in this whole world. That means that if I am getting affected by the world every moment with what's going on in the world, that's not a good thing. So, therefore, Tattva Jnanam is necessary. Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam. Proper Tattva Jnanam happens to a person if he knows his situation properly. Various things we have spoken before is to help this Tattva Jnanam. Tattva Jnanam is for this purpose, that after hearing Shastram for some time, within your own mind, you have to have some conclusions about life. That what is your real situation in this world. Normally we are caught up in family life, social life and official life and this life, that life. But able to withdraw from that and to know yourself who you are, not in total realization, you are not experiencing the self yet, but a basic understanding about yourself, Tattva Jnanam. That's called Tattva Jnanam. Tattva Jnanam means that material miseries should not disturb you anymore. When problems comes in life, and difficulties are coming in life, it should not come and disturb you inside. That is called Tattva Jnanam. A person who has got Tattva Jnanam, he will not get carried away by that. He will not get affected by that. That does not mean that you started realizing the self. That stage has not come. This is the previous stage before that. Tattva Jnanam. So that is what he is saying here. Tattva Jnanasa I am. He wanted to understand what is this world, what's my position here. For that purpose he is going to find out from Kavila Maharshi. That's what he is traveling there. So, here Tattva Jignyasa, because once you know the Tattvam, that then that means you know who you are. That's what it means, isn't it? Once you know Tattvam, that means you know who you are. You are not influenced by the miseries of the world anymore. Because why? Because you know that this body is separate from me. But you have not started experiencing that yet, the self. But in your awareness, in knowledge, you have that. That I am not this body, at least in the knowledge level. Therefore, when distress comes in life, any kind of distress in this world, it can happen, isn't it? Earthquake. In a gross level, earthquake, war, drought, cyclones, and so many natural disasters, those things can happen in a gross level. In an individual level, separation from people who are close to you, or health-wise problems, physical problems, and so many things, other miseries, adhyalvim, adhivaudhim, adhidevim, whichever it may be. When all these problems come, able to stand by that, withstand that, will come from Tattvajnanam. Tattvajnanam helps that. But even though Tattvajnanam is there, doesn't mean that you realize the self. That's another step later. But prior to that, this Tattvajnanam is necessary. That is what Rahugana is inquiring. Rahugana is at that stage. He is going for this Tattvajnyasa is there. He has studied books and he has understood some things, but the Tattvajnanam has not happened yet to him. That's what he is saying here. Tattvajnyasa. Once you know who you are, then the world should not disturb you anymore. When you know that you haven't got any connection with this world. When you've not got any connection with this world, why should the world disturb? So, what does it require? It requires one important thing called Shraddha. That is what is the most important thing. In Krishna also says there in the Bhagavad Gita, Shraddhavan Labhate Jnanam. In the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? That is the beginning. Shraddhava Labhate Jnanam. From Shraddha comes this realization that so many misunderstandings, misgivings we had about ourselves, that goes away with Tattvajnanam. With Tattvajnanam makes us aware, my position in this world is not very secure. It's not very safe. Any moment things can change and it can alter the whole situation as far as my life in this world is concerned. This awareness comes to us strongly that then you are not too concerned about useless things. You don't worry about it anymore. You'll be more concerned about your own benefit, your own advancement in spiritual path. To come to that conclusion, that requires Tattvajnanam. So Tattvajnanam is different than self-realization. Tattvajnanam is that first step to making us conscious of our position in this world, to be conscious of the awareness of the problems of this world, and when problems do come to us, able to deal with it without getting affected by that. It will still affect us, but you will have some strength inside to because of knowledge. That is called Tattvajnanam. So that Tattvajnanam, Tattvajitnyasam, so in order to that to happen, there must be Shraddha. Shraddhavan Labhate Jnanam, Bhagavad Gita says here. So not by your intelligence, not by your hard work, or not by your sadhana, none of these things. Not by your intelligence, not by your actions, by your work, not by your sadhana, none of them, but through Shraddha. Through Shraddha. That is called Shraddha. Shraddha means that you are able to analyze it inside, not on an intellectual level, but within your own understanding, that you are able to analyze it properly and come to certain conclusions within yourself and able to deal with the world in that way. That is how all people in spiritual life survives. Many, many people who have come out of material life and come to spiritual life, how do they survive in that? Every moment they are analyzing things. When the problems comes in life, they also go through a lot of hardship in this world because nobody knows about their prarabdham, isn't it? Sometimes you can see this when you go to many, many holy places where people are practicing spiritual life seriously. What happens is that a lot of distress comes to them also in their life. Their family problems may have happened, or health may have got deteriorated, financial problems, various kinds of problems. Or sometimes you can see they're caught up in a situation in this world with war or earthquake and natural disasters and things like that, where you are completely shaken by the whole events happening around you. But even in all that situations, able to have that composure inside, composed mind. How will that happen? Through Tattvajnana. Once you know who you are, then these things should not affect us to that extent. That's what he's saying. So Rahugana says here that Rahugana has come to that stage now. He has got that understanding, and all what he requires is that Shraddha is there in him. That is why he could immediately spot in Jadabharata some spiritual spark in him. When Jadabharata spoke, he sensed this is some spiritual knowledge he is talking to us. He didn't completely reject him. He accepted that. Is it not? That shows that Rahugana has the qualification. Two, when he met that person, he was able to sense this and able to notice that from Jadabharata, what he is talking about is making sense to him. That is due to his Shraddha. That's what he is saying here. That is what is mentioned here, that Sindhu Sauvirapadi Tattva Jijnyasayam Samyak Shraddhaya Adhikrita Adhikarastad Hridayagrandhimochanam. To get free from that bondage inside, Dujavajama Shrutya Bahu Yoga Grandha Sammatam Twarayava Hrihya Shirasa Padamula Mupasrada Shamapayan Vigada Nirvadevasmaya Vacham. It says that all he requires now, that he needs a proper guru. Who? Rahugana. He's in that state. He is fully matured as a disciple. You can see he was able to suddenly surrender like that to him, and he was able to spot that spiritual knowledge that was coming from Jadabharata, and able to find some sense in what he was saying. So immediately what happened was that he gave up that ego, that he is the king, and fell down at the feet of that Brahmana and paid his obeisances to him. And then he is asking him, who are you? Who are you? And whose son are you? What is the reason that you have come to this place? And I am going to see Kapila Vasudev, and I am going there to get spiritual instructions from him. And I am started thinking that, are you that same person who has come in this form? And he is doubting all that, and that you will see in the next verse, 2-3 verses you will see. Kastvam nigudascharasid vijanam bibharshi sutram kudamo vadhuda Kasyasi kutratya mihavikasmal kshayamaya nascheda sinoda shukla naham vishange sri raja vajran na trakshashula na yamasya dandal na agnirka soma nilavitta vastra shange brisham brahma gula vamanal. Those two verses. He's saying here, I'm not frightened, he says. I'm not frightened even from the thunderbolt of Indra, or even from the trident of Lord Shiva. They can only harm my body. But I'm more frightened about, he says, Brahma Kulavam, Brisham Brahma Kulavam Mana. He says, if my further advancement in life can only happen if I insult or offend a Brahmana. Offend a Brahmana, especially one like personality like Jadabharata. He's feeling frightened about that. He says, I have offended you, and therefore, will it block my further progress in spiritual life? Because those who have offended Brahmana, particularly for the Kshatriyas, he has no hope further. They are supposed to cooperate together, Brahmana and Kshatriya. And Kshatriya has to always be submissive to the Brahmana, because knowledge comes from the Brahmana. Kshatriya is meant for action. So, if I have offended this Brahmana race, then that is creating the fear in my heart, he says. Therefore, protect me. And why do you travel in this dress, in this way? He says to Jadabharata. Why are you traveling in this dress? You see there? That is it. Tal bruhya sango jadavanni ghodam vijnana viryo vijarasya vara వచాంసి యోగగ్రదిధాని సాధో ననక్షమందే మనసాభివర్థం తల్బ్రూహ్య సంగో జడవన్ నిఘుడం విజ్ఞాన వీర్యో విజరస్య పార వచాంసి యోగగ్రదిధాని సాధో ననక్షమందే మనసాభివేతుం. You have, while talking to you, I see that you are a very deep person. You have a very deep understanding of things, agadam. That means in a much deeper level you can see things. And still, why are you walking around like a crazy person? This I don't know, he said. That by hearing from you, I see that your depth is very high, very grave and very deep realization you seems to have. But when you are walking around like in this way, like a unmattavatta jadavarsa samstham, that means like a crazy person, why is it like that? And whatever you have spoken now to me, I have read all these things in the books, Raghuna saying, I have read them in the books, but I am not able to get it within my, I am not able to capture it within me, he says to him. So because... And that is what is baffling him. Here, you see, Jadavara with all the realization, Rahugana with all the knowledge of the books, two meeting up each other. And he's saying, Rahugana is saying to Jadavara, whatever you are talking is the same thing what I have read in the books, but I am not getting it, he says. Like we all say, isn't it? We are not getting it. It's the same problem, he says here. So, mind cannot get it. That is what Shastram is saying to us. With your mind, because we are trying to get it with the mind. Our effort is to understand with the mind and keep it in the brain. That is useless. Whereas here we are seeing a personality, Jadabharata, who has not captured with the mind or intelligence. Rather, in his personal realization, in life it is happening to him. Big difference. You see, Upanishad says, Yato vacha nivartande aprapya manasa saha. Words cannot explain that, what it is. Mind cannot explain that. When the mind and the words, everything withdraws, then if you have that realization, it will manifest in a person. This is how it is. Upanishads are clear about that. Yato vacha nivartande aprapya manasa saha. It says. So, beyond our mind and the words is the knowledge of the self, realization of the self. So, those words which are spoken, that even with your own mind, you won't be able to understand the words which are explaining that realization. You won't be able to understand that. This is the greatest difficulty. So you can see here, Jadavarna is speaking, is from his realization, right? And Rahugana is listening with his brain and the mind. And he is not able to relate with it. He is not able to understand. So what it is, realized state, whatever that is spoken, even in the form of words, it will not be understood by conditioned personality, souls, with their mind and intelligence. It cannot understand that. So that is why doubts are coming. So that's why he is saying here, Raghuna says, I still have doubts. You have said so many things. And that's all in agreement with the Shastram. But I have doubts, he's saying here. And he's going to ask that. You will see all that doubts coming there. He says, Drishta shramam karmadam atmano vai bhartur gandhur bhavadaschanyu manye yatha sadodanaina adhyabhaval samula mishto vivahara marga. 21st verse, he says here. Drishta shramam karmadam atmano vai భర్తుర్ గంధుర్ భవదశ్చానుమన్యే యథా సదోదానైనాద్య భావాల్ సమూలమిష్టో వ్యవహార మార్గా. దట్ ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ వర్సెస్ హి టోల్డ్ హిమ్ జస్ట్ గ్లోరిఫైయింగ్ ఈస్ జస్ట్ గ్లోరిఫైయింగ్ జడభరద హి సేస్ టు హిమ్ అహం చ యోగేశ్వరం ఆత్మతత్వ విదాం మునీనాం పరమం గురుం వై ప్రష్టుం ప్రవృత్త కిమిహారణం నల్ సాక్షాల్ హరిం జ్ఞానకలావతీర్ణం. Referring to him as the incarnation of Kaviramahrishi, who is Jnanakala, Jnanakala. Krishna has so many kalas, Jnanakala, Bhakti Kala, Vairagya Kala, Edeja Amsha Kala Pumsam Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. All kala comes together in Krishna, all the kalas. But all other incarnations doesn't have all the kalas. That is why we say Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because of that. Edeja amsha kala pumsam Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So all kala, kala means the opulence of features, all that is, all the six opulences, what do they call it, the six, when we say, this means that, what are they? The six different opulences, isn't it? Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya viryasya yashasya shriya jnanam vairagyam. All six things. Aishwaryam viryam yashasya shri jnanam vairagyam. All six things. Opulences, heroic nature, viryam, yashasya fame, shri, wealth, jnanam, knowledge, vairagyam, renunciation. All these things in full. That is Krishna. All these things in full is Krishna. So he says here, Aham cha yogeshwaram atmadattu vidam munya. So Kapila Maharshi is Jnanakala. Knowledge is Kapila. Kapila Vasudev Jnanakala. When we study Kapila, we will see this. Particularly, Kapila Maharshi's incarnation is for the propagation of Jnanam, knowledge, Sankhyam. Sankhyam is Jnanam. So therefore, he is called Jnanakala Avadhkarna. So Jnanakala is Kapila Maharshi. Krishna Dev is Vairagya Kala in Krishna Dev. So in different incarnations, you will see different aspects of Krishna present there. When Krishna, everything to that. So here, that's the same thing is here, that he told the Brahmana mentioned to him that I'm not carrying anything. This is all not making any sense to Rahugana. Still, he's struggling with it. He also said, I don't have any weight in me. And due to the palanquin, I'm not feeling the weight and I'm not tired either. Because of that. And Rahugana is not able to connect with this, what he is saying. So you know what Rahugana says to him? Rahugana says to him, I am not able to understand this, what you are saying. Because I go to the war to fight. He's a Kshatriya king, isn't it? I fight in the war. And after fighting for some time, I get tired. And then I get so tired, I have to come back and take rest. But you are not saying like that. You are saying you can... You are not bothered whether it is there or not. You are not affected by that. This I am not able to come to terms with it, he is saying. How can it work like that? How can it happen like that? My experience is that when I fight a war, after fighting for some time, I get tired and I get exhausted. But you are saying to me that even if you carry this palanquin, it doesn't bother you. You don't get tired. You are telling, this is not able to make sense to me. He says, which you can understand from where Rahugana is coming from. So, and you have also mentioned that this body is only in the Vyavaharam. Only in the Vyavaharam. So, that is not completely right, he said. Because, it's an interesting question he's asking here. He said that, for example, he said, suppose you think about an action he gives. He says an example. That suppose you want to bring some water from the well and for which you require a pot and if you don't have a pot you can bring the water here. You can't bring the water here. Suppose you have an imaginary pot. How can you bring water from there? Suppose you are imagining about a pot. You can only bring imaginary water in that pot, isn't it? So I cannot understand, he says, that you can't just say that it doesn't exist. It does exist. The pot is required and pot does exist. Otherwise, how can you bring the water from there to here? Only because the pot is there and therefore you are able to bring the water, carry the water from there to here. That action happens because the pot, reality is that the pot is there and the water is there. So, therefore, should we not say that this is a Vyavaharam it is, isn't it? Is Vyavaharam not a truth? He's asking. Like we will say. What do we say? We say in the real world we say. Our Ajnanam is like that, isn't it? We will talk about our real world. We say the real world. Okay. So, what important here is, these realized personalities, they are also living in the same world as we do. And For example, that when they say, I am, they are referring to that self which is situated in the heart. It is from there they are speaking. And that heart is their identity with the self. Atma Swarupam is present there. So, Raghuvan is saying to him that everybody says that me when they refer to my Atma who is present within. So, from that you have to understand that he is present inside this body, inside the heart. If it is like that, if he is inside this, that all the happiness and distress that's coming to this body, should that not go and affect him also inside? You all agree with this one point, that Atma is inside of this, because all, even Jnani say that when they touch their heart and show that here he is present as Antaryami here. We call him as Antaryami even, that means one who is dwelling within. To that extent we identify him as inside. If it is inside this, I don't understand that. How can you say that if something happens to the body, it does not affect him? He is not affected by that. That is not clear to me. Because I have proof for that, he says. In my palace, sometimes they make huge quantities of sweet rice for the feast. They make that. And first what they do, that they have the fire going, and on top of that they put this huge pot. And then underneath that they set the fire up with the firewood. The huge fire is burning there. And then top of that the pot is lying there. And in that pot they put a lot of milk into that pot. And when first the pot gets hot, and then the milk gets hot. Milk gets hot. And when the milk is boiling, then they put the rice into it and the sugar, and then they start cooking it, isn't it? So, the fire is only touching the pot. And the pot is touching the milk. Milk is touching the rice. And the rice is getting cooked. Rice is getting cooked. So, in this way, one thing after the other, directly the fire doesn't have any contact with the rice. There's any contact with the rice. But we always see this, that the rice is getting cooked in the milk. Similarly, my question, he says, Raghuna says to him, that in this body there is all these problems coming. Which one? Adhyalpiyam, Adibaudhiyam, Adidevigam. Three kinds of problems we have, is it not? Adhyalpiyam, Adibaudhiyam, Adidevigam. Adidevigam is the ones that's forced upon us by the nature, by Devam, Prarabdham, whatever way it comes. Adibaudhiyam is those living entities from outside. Adhyalpiyam is the one that's happening within our own mind, things like that. So, all the miseries are classified under these three. Adhyalpiyam, Adibaudhiyam, Adidevigam. All these three things were happening to me, how can you say that doesn't affect the self? Reasonable question, isn't it? He's comparing that with making the sweet rice. He's saying, set up the fire, the pot gets hot, and then the milk gets hot, and then the rice gets cooked. Similarly, in this body also, when miseries are coming to us, Adhyalpiyam, Adibaudhiyam, Adidevigam, comes to the body, it affects the mind, it affects the hangaram, everything. How can you say it doesn't affect the Atma inside, soul? And we all agree that soul is inside within us, isn't it? And when I said to you that if I punish you, you said it is Pishtaveshanam. Pishtaveshanam means useless work. Something already powdered, there's no point in powdering it further. So, but that is not Pishtaveshanam. This is Rahugana's doubts about what he has spoken. He's saying it is not Pishtaveshanam because I punish somebody. He says, I am a king. That's my job. I punish somebody, and punishing a wrongdoer or a criminal is not wrong. That is dharma. I have to do that. As a king, I have to do that, he says. Just because I've done that, I've followed my dharma as a king. I'm doing that. And by doing that, actually, I get release from my sinful reactions. Because that's my duty, I'm doing that. Therefore, actually, it helps me for executing my duty, what I have to do. If I don't do it, that's the wrong thing. Instead, I'm doing it. So how can you say, find fault with that, he says. So therefore, it is not pishtaveshanam. I'm not doing something wrong, he says. So the purpose of doing that is, my sinful reactions goes away by doing my right thing, what I meant to do. That is Kshatriya's dharmam it is. He should be doing that, is it not? He says. And it is possible that the person I have punished, he may not get rectified from his tendencies or from his this crime nature. He may not get cured from that. But I still have to do that as the king. That is this, our Rehugana's point. He says, by doing that, I get benefited. He may or may not get benefited. That I can't do anything about it. Whether he get cured from his problem, his criminal nature, that will happen or not, I don't know. May or may not happen. But as a king, if I don't do that, that is bad. That's not wrong. That's wrong for me not to do it. So therefore, I can't agree with what you said. He says this to Jadabharata. He says to Jadabharata, therefore, all your arguments are not very convincing to me. He says to him, and then finally, but at the same time, while saying all these things, he's very very respectful to Bharata. He says to him, because I don't get it. Therefore, I'm asking it. He says, I don't get it. He says, what you are saying? I don't get it. So it is my ignorance. I admit that. Therefore, I am asking this. You see how? That means, for higher knowledge to receive, you have to always accept that person, authority. If you don't accept, on a challenging way, if you approach in this, it won't work. That is the difficulty with spiritual knowledge. That if you go in thinking that, oh, I'm right. I know what I'm talking about. People say like that sometimes, isn't it? If you take that approach, it will not work. Here, that surrender, Rehugana has got surrender now. He's surrendering and saying to him, I understand that what you are saying may be the right thing, but I'm not getting it. My doubt is like this, what he said, that the pot is in the fire. Fire is burning. Pot gets hot. The milk gets hot. Then the rice gets cooked. So, in the same way, Atma is within this body, and Adhyatmiyam, Adhibhaudhiyam, Adhidevigyam, all the miseries are coming. It is attacking this body. Should they not go and trouble the self within? Should not get affected by that? He's asking that question. And secondly, he said that you said that it is all Pishtaveshanam. Pishtaveshanam means you are somebody, something which is already ground. You are further grinding it. What's the point in grinding me? It is not going to have any effect, you said. That I can't understand. He said, I have to do this because I am the king. I have to punish him for something, if he is doing something wrong, because as a king, it's my duty to do that. Whether he will get rectified or not, that I don't know. It may or may not happen. But if I don't do that duty as of punishing him, then I am at fault for not executing my duty as a king. These doubts I still have, and therefore I'm asking these questions only because I don't get it still. Therefore he says, so please remove that ignorance from me and make me like yourself, one who is established in Brahman, Brahmanishta. And this insult I have thrown at you by offending you in speaking in this way, and that should not come on the way in my realization of the self. He says, and give me, and saying like this, he's taking his shelter rather than criticizing and contracting to that. He's taking the shelter of Jadabharata rather than questioning his authority. So, it is at that time Bharata Yogeshwara decided to instruct Rehugana properly. That, first of all, he said that Rehugana had this problem that I'm very well educated, knowledge. He studied books, isn't it? So that he caught on that first, straight away. So that has to be destroyed first. So that is what he is saying there. You can see he begins like that. What Sridhara Swami mentions, that is the next chapter, 11th chapter. Sridhara Swami says like this, ఏకాదశేద సంపృష్టో రహుగణమహీభృగ ఉపాధిశల్పరం జ్ఞానం స యోగీతి నిగద్యతే. బికాస్ ది కింగ్ హాస్ ఆస్క్డ్ దిస్ క్వశ్చన్స్ టు హిమ్ ఫర్ హిమ్ జడభరద డిసైడెడ్ టు గివ్ హిమ్ ద నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ ద సెల్ఫ్ డైరెక్ట్లీ. సో ద ఫస్ట్ వర్డ్స్ యూ కెన్ సీ, ఏకాదశోధ్యాయ బ్రాహ్మణ వాచ, ద ఫస్ట్ వర్డ్స్
అకోవిదకోవిదవాదవాదాన్ వదస్యదో నాదివిదాం వరిష్ట న సూరయో హి వ్యవహారమేనం తత్వావమర్శేన సహామనంది.
ఫస్ట్ థింగ్ వాట్ జడభరత డిసైడెడ్ వాస్ టాకింగ్ టు హిమ్ హీ అండర్స్టూడ్ ద మెయిన్ ప్రాబ్లమ్ హీస్ ప్రాబ్లమ్ ఈస్ హీస్ అహంకారం. అహంకారం డ్యూ టు వాట్? టు హిస్ నాలెడ్జ్. బుక్స్ హీ హాస్ స్టడీడ్. Studying books, he has developed some knowledge. Due to that, ahankaram. By studying the books, ahankaram has developed within. So he decided to hit that straight away. So that is that first verse itself.
Akovida kovida vadavadan vadasyado nadividam varishta na surayohi vivaharamenam tatvavam arshena sahamanandi.
Saying here that some people he said, akovida kovida vada vadan. Some people have no knowledge, but they will talk as though they know everything. They know everything. But what you have to remember is, he said, panditas, they won't accept this, what you are talking now. Panditas won't accept it. When we say pandita, not means learned in the books, realized people. They won't accept that, he says. So, all what you are talking about now is the truth. Panditas won't accept it, he says. Akovida kovida vada vadan.
That vadasyado nadividam varishtam. Na surayohi vivaharamenam tattvavamarshena sahamanandi.
What is the reason for that, he's saying here. Next thing he's saying. The reason for that is vivahara satyam. The different kinds of satyam in this world. Isn't it? Paramarthiyam, vaivahariyam, pradibhasiyam, asatyam. Four kinds of truth exist in this world. Most of the truth what we say is vyavahariyam. Isn't it? Suppose I tell you that I'll give you £10 tomorrow. And if I give it to you tomorrow £10, that means I'm a truthful person. So he kept his word. So that's vyavahariyam it is. It's not paramarthiyam. It is vyavahariyam. It's called vyavahariyam. So here, in the same way, he says here that vyavahariya satyam is satyam. Who's saying? Janabrata is saying. It is satyam. But there is a problem there. When you say that vyavahariya satyam is satyam, then you are saying that there are two kinds of satyam. One is paramarthiyam and other one is vyavahariyam. Paramarthiyam means absolute. Like you can see in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna talks in the second chapter, initially he is talking about paramarthiyam. Then he comes to vaivaharikam later. Is it not? So paramarthiyam means on an absolute platform, my promise of paying you £10 tomorrow has no meaning. Because suppose I am dead tonight, I can't keep up that word tomorrow. So it's not truth. Is it not? It's not a truth anymore. So it is subject to vaivaharika satyam is subject to so many other conditions. Provided I am alive, you are alive tomorrow, and I have got £10, only then I can pay you tomorrow. And so, certain things which are subject to so many other things, that's called vaivahariyam. Paramarthiyam means it's always satyam. It never changes. Unaffected by anything what happens, that is the nature of the self. That is why it's called paramarthiyam. Paramarthiyam, anything related to the self is always truth. It is the only reality in this whole thing. Nothing else. So therefore it is called paramarthiyam. What Jadavarada is saying to Raghuna is, paramarthiya satyam is also satyam. Vaivahariya satyam is also satyam. But learned people, vidwan, agovida kovida vada vadan, vadasyado nadividam varishta. Learned people, they won't recognize vyavahariga satyam. Vyavahariga satyam, they don't even consider it as satyam because it has no meaning. It doesn't make any
it's all subject to so many other things, isn't it? Therefore, they don't even accept it as a satyam. Only satyam is paramarthiyam. Vaidhyakarika satyam has got this difficulty that it may or may not be true tomorrow. What will happen, nobody knows, isn't it? So, just like you can see everything in world, all transactions, is like that. Subject to, isn't it? You can attach a lot of terms and conditions with everything what we say, what we do in this world. What guarantee can we give? We ourselves are not permanent. So how can you make any, say that I'm telling you the truth? What meaning has it got? You can say something, but once a patient went to a doctor about with his heart problems. So the doctor was saying, oh, we can do something about it, this, that and the other, medicines, everything. While prescribing, he himself got the heart attack and died, the doctor. So what can you see? What can you say? Like the scientists also saying so many things. So it's all vyavahariyam it is. So vyavahariya satyam is saying here that is not recognized by learned people. They don't take it. And in no way you can realize the self with the help of books. Another thing. With the help of books, you will never be able to realize the self. Another statement from Jadabharata. That's what he is saying in the... says here, Tathaiva rajanurugarha medha vidana vidyor vijrumbideshu na vedavadeshu hi tattvavadam prayena shuddhonu chakasti sadhu. The second verse in the 11th chapter. Tathaiva rajanurugarha medha vidana vidyor vijrumbideshu na vedavadeshu hi tattvavadam prayena shuddhonu chakasti sadhu. Chakasti sadhu. What he's saying is, even the Vedic literature, all of them, including Upanishads, Brahma Sutram, everything, all these great Vedic literature are there only to remove your false ego inside, from within, to get rid of that false ego from inside. And Vedam has instructed karmam for this purpose, that that by engaging in karmam, Vedic injunctions or karmagandam, in that way you can get free yourself from your false ego. It is for that purpose Vedam has instructed the karmagandam. And that vaidhiya karmam, yagam, and similarly agnihotram, so many other prescribed karmam in the Vedam, he is explaining to us to engage in those in such a way that eventually it will create chitta shuddhi inside. Chitta shuddhi means what? This death of ahangaram inside. Death of ahangaram inside. And but by engaging in that karmam, you won't get tattvajnanam. You won't get tattvajnanam. And but he is saying here that this, if suppose you are karmagandam, for example, Vedam, major part of Vedam is karmagandam, isn't it? This karmagandam, if you follow that regularly, if you follow that regularly, due to that alone, you won't get the tattvam. Tattvam you won't get from that. But at the same time, they're not saying it's completely written off, because if you engage in karmagandam, execute those karmam like yagam, homam, agnihotram, all sacrifices, everything, if it is executed properly, offering to Krishna without any expectations of results and without that I am the doer is ahankaram, isn't it? So if you don't have that concept, I am the doer, without that ahankaram, if you execute that, and if he does that in that way for a long period of time, little by little, the knowledge of the self, to the degree he gets purified inside his mind, this knowledge of the self will start revealing itself from within. That's how karmagandam works. Karmagandam, if you do that, but if you do it in such a way that as an offer, without the ownership, without I am the doer, ahankaram inside, and you are completely given up that, simply doing it for, let this please Krishna. idam na mama, idam na mama, not mine, not mine. In that way, if he does that, and in course of time, or a long period of time, that ahankaram, I am the doer, will go away from him. And when that goes away, little by little, this knowledge of the self will slowly start sprouting inside. The same here. And, but while doing this, executing this karmakandam, yagam, homam, agnihotram, and all these things, he says here, without the ownership you have to do it. That you are not taking the ownership all the time, you have to know, idam na mama, it's not mine. For example, if you are giving wealth for some purpose, you have to think, it's not mine, it is Krishna's. And you are handing it over back. In that understanding, it has to be done. So, practically in every level, the identity with this, I am the doer, I am, in everything has to go. So, there is a difficulty here. For example, offering some wealth to Krishna and offering your karmam to Krishna is two different things. Is it not? If you think about it. For example, suppose you have offering something, karma bhalam. That karma bhalam means that you are engaged in actions in such a way that all while engaging in executing different kinds of activities with this body and mind, to be conscious that all the results are, I am not doing anything, Krishna is doing it, it's Krishna's. In that way, you have to be able to do that. That's one. The other side, suppose you have got a lot of wealth and you are offering that wealth to Krishna. Offering it to Krishna. And these two things are little different. So, while offering something, you are saying to Krishna, this is what I've got, I give this to you, I don't have anything else to offer to you, I'm giving this to you. With that, it is over. But while living in this world and engaging in karmam, and at the same time offering all the karmam to Krishna, that's a more difficult thing. To offer the karmam itself to Krishna. Which means that even while doing that, that I am the doer should not be there in that state. So, for example, say pious activities and sinful activities in this world. The normal concept is if I engage in pious activity, it will bring me some good results later. If I engage in sinful activity, it will bring sinful reactions later. It is on this understanding we operate in this world. Therefore, people engage in pious and sinful activities, isn't it? Why we refrain from sinful activities? Because we are frightened that tomorrow it will come back to us. Therefore, we refrain from sinful activities. We engage in pious activities thinking that some benefit will come out of it tomorrow. I may get a better birth, I may get something beneficial from that in future. So, therefore, our safeguard is that distress should not come, and on the other hand, results should be beneficial and favorable to us later. But even that thought has to go from within. Such a thought has to go from within. No matter whether it is sinful or whether it is pious, then I am just doing it because that's come through me. Mm-hmm. And I have no kartrutvam. I am the doership there. It is simply that Krishna is doing through that body. To take that approach is difficult. Mm-hmm. To do that approach is difficult. All the time. Throughout life, to live like that is difficult. Handing over the results is easier. I got this, Krishna has given it to me, here it is, please take it and be happy with this, what I have got. That way, that is easier because then that is done and gone. But this, to remain in this state and to engage in karmam like this all the time, knowing very well that that I have no ownership, I am the doer, not to allow that to wake up inside. So, and this is what Mahabali did, you see. Mahabali handed over everything to Krishna, Vamanamurti, isn't it? Mahabali handed over everything. He says to him, whatever comes, it doesn't matter to me. I'm handing over to you. Mahabali's approach was like that. He didn't care for Shukracharya's instructions. And Mahabali says to Vamanamurti, You can take everything, including me. Including me. He says, you take it from me. Isn't it? And now after this, you want me to sell to hellish planet? Do so. I don't have any problem with that. Isn't it? I'm not frightened. Whatever you give it to me, I'll accept that. So, to do like that, that is what he is saying here. Is that? To engage in that way. Prayana shuddhonu chakasti sadhu. Second verse. Tadhaiva rajanyuru garhametha vidana vidhyoru vijrambideshu na vedavadeshu hitattvavadam prayana shuddhonu chakasti sadhu. Prayana shuddhonu chakasti sadhu. That shuddhonu chakasti sadhu. That here, like the way Mahabali did, when Mahabali, when Vamanamurti came up to Mahabali and asked for 3 feet of land, in 2 feet he measured the earthly planet, heavenly planets, everything. Where do I put my 3rd feet? He said, you have to keep up your word, what you have given to me. Mahabali thought and understood that this is nobody else than Vishnu, Vamanamurti. And all these sacrifices I am performing and all kinds of austerities, penances in this world is to please Vishnu. Vishnu is coming here and asking me direct something. And if I don't hand it over, then what's the use of all these sacrifices? So that intelligence happened to Mahabali at that time. And he said, take everything, it's all yours. It's not mine. Everything is yours. What authority have I got? You have given it to me, you are taking it back. It's yours at the end. It's not mine, isn't it? So this is the approach Mahabali took. So Mahabali is saying to Vamanamurti that I'm not frightened because it is not mine anyway. None of it is mine. It's all yours. And you are taking it back, so what right have I got to complain about it? This is Mahabali's approach. Krishna was very pleased with that. That means you are recognizing Krishna's authority there. That it is Krishna's proprietorship. You are not the proprietor. So that is showing to us that Mahabali had this deep sense of realization that nothing belongs to him. Nothing belongs to him. So that therefore, that surrender, Mahabali's surrender and offering everything is very pure. It's not tainted with any ill effect. So he's saying here that Shuddhonu Chakrasti Sadhu. Sadhu means that dharmam what he has executed is pure, very pure. And sadhu means there is no violence involved in that. Chakrasti Sadhu. And that will not bind him, bind that person. So that kind of karmam. And if it is offered like that, that will have its effect. Otherwise, there is no benefit from that. Now, in the Vedam, that is not the only thing. In the Vedam, Upanishad and all that, they will talk about Brahman. And when they say about directly explaining the Brahman, and if you come to know that, what will happen? That's the 3rd verse. You see there? Madasya tattva grihanaya sakshal variyasi abhivajas samasan sopne niruktya grihamedhi saukhyam nayasyaheya namitam swayam syal. So, in the 2nd verse about karmam, how to deal with it, that was spoken. And in this 3rd verse, natasya tattvagrahanaya sakshal variyasi rabivaja samasan sapne niruktya grahamedhi saukhyam nayasyaheya namitam swayam syal. He says there that in the dream state, when you are experiencing some happiness, sense enjoyment, or whatever it may be, at that particular moment in time, you are experiencing that in the dream, isn't it? But as soon as you wake up, it's gone. Is it not? In the dream, say for example, you have become a king, or you become a big president, or some big position you had. It's only true when in that dream state. When you wake up, you lost it. You are not president anymore. You are not even a temple president. In the dream you can imagine you are American president. But But that president position is gone when you come to the vacant state. Your presidentship is gone, isn't it? So, that time you realize that you are not a president. When you came to the vacant state, you realize only in the dream you are president. You are president, isn't it? Similarly, Upanishads also is Tattva Pradhanam. Tattva Pradhanam means that Upanishads talks to you about Tattva a lot. Tattva Jnasa is with Upanishads. In the Bhagavatam, you can see in the beginning, when in the first canto itself, when Tattva Vadandida Tattva Vidam Tattvam Yajnanam Advayam Brahmedi Paramatmedi Bhagavan Dishabdyadeyam. Similarly, you will see in the first canto, second chapter, you will see that Kamasi Indriya Prayer, 10th verse. Prithi labho jivedaya vada jivasya tattva jinyasa nartvayas cheha karmabhi vadandida tattva vidam tattvam yad. So you will always see this word tattvam, tattvam, tattvam coming up all the places, all over in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Tattvam spoken. So what is this tattvam doing to us? That is the important. Again, you will see in the second chapter itself, evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogada bhagavad tattva vijnanam. Mukta Sangase Jayade. What is this Tattvam? That is what Upanishads talks about. Tattvam. Upanishads, main topic of discussion in the Upanishads, Tattvam, analyzing Tattvam. Analyzing Tattvam is what it does. So therefore, when we study Upanishads, what we do what we call as Vijaram. Vijaram means completely absorbing in that and reflecting on it. It's very much in depth, in seriously, and by studying in that way, directing our mind from the world to self. That's what Upanishad helps. Upanishad helps to direct our mind from the world to the self, to take it to attention to the self. And this problem is that by doing that, and if the Shraddha has not gone inward, internally, sometimes it will cause problems if it hasn't happened. This you have to understand a little better, because see, we are studying Srimad Bhagavatam. We are studying Srimad Bhagavatam. You know that there is this verse, Srimad Bhagavata Khyoyam Pratyaksha Krishna Mevahi. We say that, isn't it? What does it mean? It means that Krishna is Bhagavatam, we say. Krishna is Bhagavatam. Pratyaksha Krishna Mevahi. Krishna present in front of us in the form of Bhagavatam, we say, like that. But suppose I think Bhagavatam is Krishna, and instead of analyzing it inside with the knowledge of the Bhagavatam. Suppose I keep Bhagavatam in a nice altar and keep putting flowers and worshipping it every day. That is not good enough. That's not what Srimad Bhagavatam Pratyaksha Krishna Mevahi means. Pratyaksha Krishna Mevahi does not mean that this book Bhagavatam, if I look at it, oh, there is Krishna sitting there on that stand. And I am satisfied. Krishna is sitting there, I am sitting here. And I put a garland on that. We have to know these things properly. Like you must have seen, you know this Govashtami, that means when they worship the cow. Mm-hmm. Isn't it? That day they put a garland on the cow. They do the aradhi to the cow. And with the 5 weeks, the ghee lamb you are showing, the chamar you are fanning the cow. Cow has no idea what's going on. That is not the way to worship cow. This is all ignorance, because there's no enough knowledge behind it. That's why they do all these things. They have no idea what they're doing. This is not how you understand Shastram. Shastram says, you have to know how to worship a person. To worship cow means offering the food, grass, good grass to the cow. That's the way you worship cow. But what do? We put our tilak on the cow, exactly like the way we do, and we put a garland on the cow. We think, oh, we are worshipping the cow. We are the best devotees of the cow. This is the way we worship the cow, is it not? And then we bring the arati plate, incense, water, flower, and then the chama, and everything we do, all that. Cow is standing there. He doesn't know what is even going on. Have you seen avidya like this anywhere else? You will see in bhakti all these things happening without any understanding of what is going on. So that is the same problem here, that I have taken this as Bhagavatam as Krishna, because the verse is saying Srimad Bhagavatakhyoyam Pratyaksha Krishna Mevahi. So I am seeing that is Krishna. So because Krishna there, I bring some garlands, flowers, offer everything to that book and saying that here is Krishna, therefore I am offering everything. But that is not what that means. What that means is that after studying that Srimad Bhagavatam, if my attention has gone inwards, and if I started seeing Krishna within, it is that knowledge in that book is what matters. Not that physical manifestation of that book. That is no meaning. That anybody can make it. Then you can say, this is Krishna. Everybody thinks it's Krishna. Yes. But when we come to understand that from that verses in the Bhagavatam and the book Bhagavatam, the truth, tatvajnanam, that is coming from there. The knowledge of the self, that is Krishna. Knowledge of the self, that is Krishna. So, if you keep on holding on to the book and thinking that everything will happen to me because I got Krishna with me, no, and I hold tight, it will never happen. The way you are holding it, you will be holding it till the death. It's the same way. So, that attention in the book, the Shraddha seriousness or the respect for that book, that should take you to go inwards looking for that Antaryami inside. Then you have understood that principle. The principle is that. It is not the book that matters. Does not mean that you have to be disrespectful of the book. What it means is that the book actually carry Krishna in that, in a certain level. And if you take that book, and from that book, if you have helped you to turn your attention from the world inwards towards Antaryami, then you have understood Bhagavatam. Then you have understood Bhagavatam. So, it is not a mistake of Vedavyas. Vedavyas has spoken that verse. Srimad Bhagavatakhyoyam Pratyaksha Krishna Mevahi Svigrudosi Mayanatha Muktyartham Bhavasagare. I have taken shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam to get free myself from the miseries of material world. As the verse says. But it is not Vedavyasa Maharshi's fault. It is the mistake in us who understood it wrongly. Like I mentioned about the cow worship. So, because the book is always outside, but Vastu is inside. That's the difficulty. Book is always outside. But the Vastu you are looking for is inside. Is inside. So, so without knowing the person who is seeing the book, you are not going to know about the book. The person who is seeing the book is more important than the book itself. If you come to know the person inside, then the purpose of the book is over. Is it not? So, knowing the self is more important than knowing, studying all the verses, all the commentaries, and the book. And to say that I've got the latest version, latest edition. That's why we shouldn't get too much involved in these arguments about the books. Till this realization happens, whether sometimes, as I said last time also, I was saying this, that we give importance to the translation and the purports and the commas and the T's and C's, whatever it is, isn't it? All other things in the book, we think that is what makes things happen. That is not going to make it happen. If this book has helped you to inquire about the self, to go inwards, and if you have found the Vastu inside, then the book is helpful. But if the book hasn't helped you, there are many people in this world who have realized it without studying Bhagavatam also. You can't ignore that. So, important thing is that Srimad Bhagavatakhyoyam Pratyaksha Krishna Mevahi, that one verse itself is just an example, that Vastu, if you keep on putting your attention and Shraddha in the world outside, the Vastu is always inside. and you will not be able to get hold of that vastu. That's what he is saying there in that. He says, Swapne niruktya grihamedhi saukhyam nayasya heyanamitam swayam syal. Swapne niruktya. He says here, Swapne niruktya. Swapne niruktya means, in swapnam, in dream state, you are not thinking anything. What you are seeing in the dream, that's all there, nothing else. Is it not? What you are seeing in dream, that's what's there. Whereas in the vacant state, you are doing things and you are thinking also at the same time. Do you know what I'm saying? Swapnam, you can't manipulate. You have no freedom to maneuver the swapnam. Swapnam is coming and what is there, that's it. You have to live with that. In the vacant state, things are happening and you are maneuvering it in different ways, isn't it? So similarly, by studying Upanishads alone, you won't get the result. You won't get the result. That and without getting that result of the vastu, you can't come out of this material existence. He says there in the fourth verse, Yavan mano rajasa purushasya svatvena vatamasava niruddham chedobi agudbiratanodi nirangusham kushalam chedaram va. Yavan mano rajasa purushasya svatvena vatamasava niruddham chedobi agudbiratanodi nirangusham kushalam chedaram va. So he is saying to him that the mind has got one problem all the time. It is in contact with modes of nature. One, either sattvagunam or rajogunam or tamogunam. And because it is always in touch with the three modes of material nature, it will make us to engaging in some good karma sometimes and sometimes in bad karma. It will force us to do that because of this contact with the three modes of material nature. And how does it do that? Either through the senses of knowledge or through the senses of action. Karmendriyam, Yanendriyam. And using these two, it will force us to do some good things and some bad things in this world. We do both. So, when we do like that, accordingly, we will get a birth based on that, isn't it? And when that happens, he says here, it will create vasana. And that vasana will create next life. That's what. You see, look at the next words. Sa vasana alpa, mushayo parakto, guna pravaho, vigula shoda shalpa, bibral prasanna amabhirubam edam, andar bahishtam japurastano udhi. So, that is the fourth and fifth verse. He's saying here that because of the mind is affected by the three modes of material nature, it will force you to do different things through your senses of knowledge and action. With the result that it will create vasana inside. Once it has created vasana, it will create another life for us. Sa vasana alpa vishayo parakto. He says, Sa vasana alpa vishayo parakto. Guna pravaho vigrata shodasha alpa. Bibbal pradang namavir ubabedam. Andar bahishtonja purai sanodhi. So, here, if you are doing those karmam, when doing, because of these modes of nature and we are doing that, we are forced to do the karma due to the modes of nature. Modes of nature is influencing us to do the karma. Good karma, bad karma, whatever it may be. Both create vasana inside. Good karma also creates vasana, bad karma also creates vasana. But apart from that, all the karma I am thinking I am doing it. Karma is done by the prakriti due to the modes of nature. And they are present in my mind and I am acting. And when I am acting, I am thinking I am doing it. I am doing it. So, and then when you do with the and with the identification with the karma that I am the doer, that is when vasana is created. Vasana is created like that. Suppose you are not taking the ownership, I am not doing anything, prakriti is doing everything. If you have that 100% inside, it won't create any vasana inside. Because you have identified with that karma, that I am the doer, and material modes of nature, sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, in conjunction with the mind is engaged in activities, and you have identified with it, it creates vasana. Otherwise, it doesn't create vasana. So, that vasana, he says here, and will be there inside when we are working like that, and it will be there in the mind. So, that is why he says, vasana alpa vishayoparakto, vishayoparakto. So, that mind which is filled with vasanas, what due to our activities, that that will take into 16 different forms, he is saying here. Shodashalpa, he says. Gunapravaho vigrida shodashalpa. What are they? That means, the 16 things is, 5 senses of knowledge, 5 senses of action, then the mind, then 5 material elements, earth, water, air, ether, fire. So, these are the 16 ones. 5 material elements, 5 senses of knowledge, 5 senses of action, and the mind. This is what is creating that whole thing. And so, so when that is, when you are looking at it, in simple terms, these things together is called the subtle body, basically spoken. It is created like, how is the subtle body created? Subtle body is created in this way. 5 material elements, that is to define the world, where our karma happens. Then 5 senses of knowledge and 5 senses of action, through which we engage in karma. And behind that, the mind, which is influenced by the modes of nature. Mind means modes of nature. All these things together, it creates something inside called vasana, which is called subtle body. It's called subtle body. So what happened now? Initially, I am that ahankaram inside. It has now taken 16 different forms in these 16 different ways. It is acted through these 16 outlets, isn't it? Earth, water, air, ether, fire, the 5 material elements it's dealing with, it's identifying with that. My mind, it's identifying with that. 5 senses of knowledge, shabda sparsha roopa rasa gandham, it is identifying with that. And then vaka pani padam palma upastham vayu, the 5 senses of action, karmendriyam, it is identifying that. So ahankaram, which is originally me, which I am, the ahankaram, it has found these 16 outlets to work through, and it is through these 16 outlets it's operating here. So therefore, it has started acting through 16 different ways, and my ahankaram or abhimanam or ego has split itself into these 16 different forms. And that while identifying with these 16 outlets, through these 16 different outlets, some of them are for better ones, some of them are for degrading ones. Some of them may be for better purpose, or some of them may be for lower purpose. So, all these situations, this mind is operating with the conjunction with the ego. So, what will happen now is, every time I am accepting a body, according to that body, my ahankaram in me. Is it not? Have you noticed that? For example, if you are in a human form, your ego is a different nature than the ego in a dog, or an ego in a lion, or in an elephant. They also have that, but their ego is different than our ego. So, according to the body, your ego changes. Your ego changes. So, and you are in that, with that ego, you remain in that body. So, and in that way, we keep on accepting different bodies every time. And, but the person who is taking all these different bodies, he is the same person. Is it not? The person who is taking different bodies is the same. But how his ego is changing with it depending on the body? But in all the bodies, it is these things, these 5 senses of knowledge and senses of action, they all have that. And his mind and the 5 material elements. For us it is true, for the elephant also it's true, for the dog also it's true. For all living entities, it is true. It's the same thing. So, ahankaram in every individual will go in different directions and in different lifetimes, different bodies, creates different vasanas, and it all builds up inside the sushma shariram or in the subtle body. So, but that ego which is going through all these different bodies and developing these different vasanas, that ego is one. They are not different. But that ego, when it gets these different outlets, it goes through that. Body is changing, but ego is not changing. That ego is not changing. Do you understand what I'm saying? That the it is a important thing, the sense that ahankaram, I have this ahankaram, that, for example, I am a man, or I am an Indian, or I am a American, or I am a European, or I am a black man, I am a white man, I am this, I am that. All kinds of identities in a subtle level operates within us, is it not? Or so this ahankaram in this human body, and for an elephant, if you look, elephant won't be saying like that. But elephant's ahankaram is in a different way. Elephant's ahankaram will be that if you question his authority, he'll give you a kick. With its trunk, he will take you. If you upset him, his ahankaram will be such that he will throw you away and he'll show you his strength. So ahankaram is in me, ahankaram is in the elephant. So when I have a human body, it takes one shape through these 16 different outlets. And when it is in the elephant, it takes another shape through its 16 different outlets. But that force that's operating within the elephant, within me as ahankaram, is one. They're not different. So, and accordingly, that person, ahankaram is jiva. That's what first thing to realize it. Ahankaram is jiva. And then, according to that, the jiva is experiencing sukham, dukham, happiness and distress. And both of them he is experiencing. That is what he is saying here. That Savasanalpa Vishayobarakto Gunapravaho Vigradashodashalpa Vibral Prudhangnama Virubamedam Andarbahishtam Jaburaistanoti Dukham Sukham Vidiriktam Jativram Kalobabannam Phalamam Vyanakti Alingya Maya Rijidandaralpa Sudehinam Samsruti Chakrakudaham. Then what does this ahankaram does? Janabrata is analyzing to make it easier for Rahugana to understand, because Rahugana is talking everything from on an external level, whereas Bharata Maharshi is going back inwards and saying to him, look, this is how it is happening inside. If you understand this, your doubts will get cleared. That is Bharata Maharshi's way of saying things. First of all, he spoke about ahankaram, how ahankaram works in a person, in different bodies, how it operates. Now he is saying here what this ahankaram does. Ahankaram covers the soul. Because of, if the ahankaram is strong, you will never realize the self. You never realize the self. It's like they say, this ahankaram has come from the self. That's the most interesting thing. And it's always covering the self, like a cloud covers the sun. They give the example that sun has created the cloud, isn't it? Who created the cloud? The sun. Because from the large oceans and big water lakes everywhere, the same water gets evaporated and forms clouds due to the presence of sunshine, hot sun. Isn't it? It creates the clouds. And this cloud goes and covers the sun. Its own creation, but it goes and covers the sun. Similarly, ahankaram has come from Atma, and that ahankaram goes and covers Atma. It is, that example is in the Bhagavatam later, in the 10th canto also you will see this, that how it works. This is tattvajnanam. These things we have to accept it, understand it and accept it. Then it will we will understand what ahankaram means. Then, so ahankaram is like that. It is always covering the soul, covering the soul. When ahankaram builds up in a person, if the clouds develops strongly, then we start thinking, we are that. We start thinking, we are that. Actually, we are not that. And in the 12th canto, it's also spoken that very clearly, that it is not possible when this ahankaram is building up in a person, he has to think, why, how come this ahankaram is able to operate like this in me? Who is the force behind it? One has to think like that. Jadabharata is teaching Rahugana to analyze it properly, to get the point across to Rahugana. Because Rahugana's ahankaram is strong, being the king and learned and all that. He is thinking like that. So, because it is, that cloud is very thick inside, avidya, ajnanam. It's all one thing only. Avidya is ajnanam. Ajnanam is ahankaram. That we are using different terminologies, that doesn't matter. Vastu is the same. All we are saying is that because of the presence of this ahankaram, ajnanam, avidya, I'm not experiencing the self. I'm not feeling I'm alpa. I'm feeling I'm this body. I'm feeling I'm this, I'm that. So that ajnanam has to go. He's saying here, who is behind it? That if I have ahankaram in me, how come this ahankaram is able to function without somebody else giving, supplying the power to that ahankaram? It will not operate, is it not? So, which is that? That on its own, ahankaram has no life. On its own, it has no life. Because, how do you know it has no life? Because you can see, in the deep sleep state, it disappears. That's the proof. So, that is showing to us that ahankaram has no life of its own. Unless some other powerhouse is there behind it, this ahankaram cannot operate. In the deep sleep, ahankaram goes away. That shows that it cannot stand on its own. It needs the help of some another force, and that is Atma. That is the soul. That is the soul. Because the fact that it is going and dissolving in the deep sleep state is showing to us that it is showing its power where it's getting its power from another source. And it is only due to the power of that source that it is able to go and dissolve itself in the deep sleep. Ahankaram. Isn't it? So, so Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying to us that this ahankaram, where is it getting its power? What is the source? That should be found out by through Shraddha. That's where Shraddha is necessary. Now you know where Shraddha is necessary. That when ahankaram is inside, able to find out where the ahankaram is getting its power, supply source, where is it coming from? And this analysis is what he is saying here. Gave the example that the sun, due to its own sun rays and sunshine, it created these clouds in the sky. And it covers the sun. But sun does not disappear. What's happening there? These clouds that's formed in the sky by the power of the sunshine itself becomes a block in seeing the sun. It covers, stops the sun. How was the clouds created? Due to the power of the sun. And it created the steam from the water in the wells and in the tanks and lakes and the oceans and the rivers everywhere. And that power of creating the cloud belongs to sun. It is sun's power that you see there, isn't it? Sun's solar energy is that one which has made all these things to turn into clouds and to cloud. And it turned the water into cloud, isn't it? Similarly, that Atma, self, or that awareness or consciousness inside, what Krishna calls it as, it is being covered by another curtain, which is ahankaram there, and that is called ahankaram. And when that ahankaram comes and covers it, then we are not experiencing the self anymore. It disappears. But at the same time, you are aware of the presence of ahankaram, isn't it? Because ahankaram is this awareness, all the time, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm going here, I know him, I have eaten, I'm going to sleep. Who is saying all these things? Where is that I coming from? That's ahankaram. That is ahankaram. So that is what we call it as personality. Personality is ahankaram. personality is Ahankaram. That's why I mentioned before also that when we talk about this personality development, Bhagavad Gita for personality. Bhagavad Gita is for erasing the personality, not for developing the personality. There itself they have got it wrong. Those who say that, you know, there are so many courses going on for personality development, Bhagavad Gita for personality development. And we say this to these business companies also, telling them that how we can develop your personality. It's something like this yoga things, what they teach, the yoga schools. So similarly, we have some misunderstanding that they are not properly understood this. That personality means, first you have to ask the question, how is the personality able to show its personality in this world? Where did the personality get its strength from? It has to come from some source, isn't it? And if you keep on giving attention to that, you will see that this personality will disappear and you will come to know your proper identity, who you are. That is Atma. That realization will come. Provided this has to die. This personality has to die. Personality has to die. So it is at that time. Then when that happens, you can say that Srimad Bhagavad Akhyoyam Pratyaksha Krishna Vevahi. You have got Bhagavadam then, in effect, isn't it? So that is why you can see when the beginning of Bhagavadam itself, Vedavyasa Maharshi clarified this point about Bhagavadam. He says, when they are referring to Sukha Brahmarshi, Sukadeva Goswami, he says here, Yaswanubhavam akhila shruti saramekam adhyalmadivam adididirshadam tamondham samsarinam karunayaha purana guhyam tam vyasasunum upayami gurum uninam. That verse is the answer to that. Yes, Swanubhavam. Swanubhavam means in his realization level. Not intellectual level, not in the mental level, but Swanubhavam, in experience level. Then he says here, Vedavyas did not say a book there. He's saying, what is Bhagavadam? Yes, Swanubhavam akhila shruti saramegam. That is Bhagavadam. That Sukha Brahmarshi is that example of that self-realization state. A Swanubhavam, one who has in his experience level enjoying this bliss of the Bhagavadam. A Swanubhavam akhila shruti saramekam. Akhila shruti saramekam. All the shruti, vedam, upanishads, their essence. Shruti saram means the essence of all that. That adhyatma deepam, that torchlight of knowledge of the self. Adititirshadam tamondham. It's the most difficult thing to acquire easily. It's not so easy. Adititirshadam tamondham. Unless you cross over all the avidya, ajnanam, ignorance, everything. You have to transcend all that. Adititirshadam tamondham. But samsarinam karunayaha purana guhyam. But out of his immense compassion for the conditioned souls, samsarinam karunayaha, he purana guhyam tam vyasasunam upayami gurum mininam. He spoke Srimad Bhagavadam. From that realization he spoke Srimad Bhagavadam. To say to us that akhila shruti saramegam means that the essence of all the shruti. So from there you can understand it is not the book that is important. It is that realization from that book, that's what matters. If you have got the realization from that book, what Sukha Brahmarshi is saying there, then you have got it. Then that is Bhagavadakhyam Pratyaksha Krishna Mevahi. So that is not a second thing. That is one and the same thing. So, ekam, shrutisar, say the word used there, shrutisaram ekam. Ekam means there is only one. There is no two things. There is only one thing. So, whereas books are concerned, there are many books. Is it not? There are so many books. And you can keep writing more books also. That's all you can do. But that is not. He's saying here, ekam. Ekam means that the message that is which is come to Sukha Brahmarshi when he spoke, with that realization he is speaking, is it not? So he is saying here, Yasyanubhava Ahila Shudisaram, Anubhavam level, he has got the essence of all the Vedas and Upanishads. In experience level, he has got it. Who? Shuga Brahmarshi. Yasyanubhavam Ahila Shudisaram Ekam. Ekam means it's one. There's not many. Books are many. Anubhavam is one. Suppose you have experienced that tomorrow. You are in that state like Shuga Brahmarshi. You are not different from Shuga Brahmarshi then anymore. Do you get that point? That is what that ekam means. Shrutisaryam ekam. Because anyone who experiences that, he becomes one with Shuga Brahmarshi. Exactly what happened with Parikshit and Shuga Brahmarshi at the end. You can see here that that because once you established in that state of self-realization, there is only one Atma there. Vastu is one. And that is present within us. Only thing we have to realize it. In everyone it is present there. So, in order to realize that, this teaching, Upadesham, or instructions like Krishna instructed Uddhava, Krishna instructed Arjuna, and so many other rishis instructed different devotees. And that instruction that is given, that is not different from the Vastu itself, who has given the instructions. So, and spiritual master is also the same Vastu inside. In the Bhagavatam you will see all the statement. So, you could never say that if you have understood that Vastu inside, then spiritual master is not different from there, from him. And these differences will go. Once you have known the Vastu, that is why it's called Vastu. Yasyanubhavam akhila shrutisaramekam adhyatmadeepam adityatirshadam tamantham samsarinam karanayaha purana guhyam tam vyasasunim upayami guru munina. In the beginning of the verse, what did he say? Janmavadhyasa yadvanyaya izaradas charte shabhijna swaral tene brahma hridaya adhigavaye muhyandiyat suraya tejovarimritam yadhavinimayo yatratri sargo mrusha samna dharmna svena sada nirastha guhagam satyambaram dhimahi. Dharma projita kaitavotta varamo narmatsaranam sadam vedyam vastavam atra vastu. Vastu. Vastu is one. There's not many. Vastu is only one. That vastu is in everybody in the form of Antaryami, present there. Once you have known Antaryami or realize yourself who you are, then you become that vastu. You are not different from that vastu anymore. To show these things, that means once you have known that Vastu inside, the word used in Bhagavatam is Vastu. Vedavyas uses the word Vastu. Vastu means that thing inside, Antaryami inside. And once you have known the Vastu, then you will know that it is that Vastu which has come as Guru outside. Guru and other things are all forms, external forms only. But the Vastu is one. It takes different forms, different times. That is so Bhagavatam. So, moment self-realization happens, immediately Shuga Brahmarshi left the place. When Parikshit realizes self, immediately he left the place. Because what has happened now? What has happened? Parikshit started realizing that he is not separate from Shuga Brahmarshi. That's what will happen. That is why there was no saying goodbye or anything. Who is saying goodbye to whom then? Goodbye and all is in the bodily level, isn't it? When I get in the car, I wave to somebody else who is going on the street. But when you have come to the platform that you have become one with that Vastu, Shuga Brahmarshi knows that Parikshit has realized it. He has become one with Parikshit. So how can Shuga Brahmarshi say goodbye to Parikshit anymore? It's not possible because you have become one with him. That is that difficulty there. So once the self-realization happened, then Shuga Brahmarshi gone away from there without even saying one word. So in order to show the nature of that Vastu inside, it comes out in different forms. And it comes out in the form of Bhagavatam also. comes out in the form of Bhagavatam also. And that is the goal of all these things. And you will see here that ultimately purpose of all these books, all the verses, everything is to show to us who we are. Who we are, isn't it? And and but at the moment, no matter how much we talk about it, we are not able to get that oneness in us. Why? Because in every one of us, according to our ahankaram inside, it's completely covering it. Like we mentioned before, ahankaram covers the self. Ahankaram covers the self. So, and at the same time, this ahankaram has come from the Atma. Ahankaram has come from Atma. So we'll stop there for a few minutes.
Chedo darpanam arjanam vamahada valni nirvavanam Shreyakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam Anandam budivardhanam pradipadapurnam radaswadhanam Sarvatna suvanam varam vijayde shri krishna sankirtanam Nam namagari bahuda nija sarva shakti Tatra arpidani midasmarane nagala Edadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamabhi Durdaiva midashamihajani nanuragaha Trinaravishuni jena taravi sahishuna Amani namana dena kirtaniya sadahari Nathanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadishakamaye Mama janmani janmani shwari bhavadad bhakti rahai dugitvai Aye nanda danu jakingaram padidamam shame bhavam budau Kruvayadava pada panga jastida duli sadrasham vichindaya Nayanam galada shodharaya vadanam gadgadarudhaya gira Pulagair nijidam gada vabu tavam namagrahane bhavishyati Yugaidam nimeshena chachusha pravishayitam Shunyayitam jagal sarvam govinda virahename Ashlishyava padaradam pinashtumam Adarshanam armahadam karyotuva Yadadadava vidadadulam padu Malprananathastunayevanaparam
Akovida kovida vada vadan vadasya dona dividam varishta Nasura yohi vivaharamenam tatvavamarshena sahamanandi Tadhaiva rajan nurugarhamedha vidana vidyur vijrambideshu Naveda vadeshu hidatva vadam ayana shuddho ni chakasti sadhu Natasya dhatva grahanaya sakshal variya sira vivajas samasan Supne niruktya grahamedhi saukhyam Nayasya heya animitam swayam syal Yavan manurajasa purushasya Satvena vatamasava niruddham Chedo biragu dibiradhanoti Nirangusham kushalam chedaram va Savasan alma vishayo parakto Gunapravaho vigrudashodasha alma Vibhral pradhanam virubhavedam Andarbhaishtum japuraistanoti Dukham sokham vidirektam jadivram Kalopapannam phalama vyanakti Alingyamaya rijidandaralma Sudehinam samsrudhi chakragudaha So, Brahmana, our Bharata, Jada Bharata is saying there that that this Ahankaram is the one that is covering the self. That is covering the self. And we have mentioned there before that the once this knowledge of the self manifests in a person, that means Ahankaram has gone. That means Ahankaram has gone. So, and this Ahankaram gets its power supply from the self. Ahankaram itself gets its power supply from this self, isn't it? And in the next verse he is saying there, Tavanayam Vivaharasadavil Kshetrajna Sakshyo Bhavati Stula Sushmam Tasman Manu Lingamado Vadandi Guna Gunatvasya Paravarasyam. Ahankaram is also Drishyam. Now let's look at it this way. There is Drikka Drishyam, isn't it? We have spoken before also. For example, this mic is here. My eyes are seeing. Now here, eyes are Drik and the mic is Drishyam. But with eyes alone, I can't see this. Behind the eyes, I require the mind. Because without the mind, I won't know the presence of the mic. So, in order to complete that seeing process, I require the mind, I require the eye, and I require the mic. So, if there is an object called this mic, if I want to see it, I require the eye, but there eye is the drik, this is drishyam. But if you go one step further, what happens? The mind becomes the drik, the eye becomes the drishyam. Now, eye is drik and this is drishyam. But if you go one step backward, you will see that mind is a drik, and because in order that the eye to operate, the mind is necessary. So mind becomes the drik. Similarly, ahankaram is also drishyam when it comes to soul. Because ahankaram cannot function on its own. Is it not? So ahankaram becomes drishyam. And drikka, drishyam, two things. Everything, when it becomes drishyam, it is prakriti. Sorry. When it becomes drishyam, it is prakriti. Drikka is the one what is seeing the drishyam. What is seeing the drishyam? And that drikka is atma. And atma has no more, is never drishyam. It's always other things becomes drishyam. One in respect to each other, with respect to the other. First this thing, then there is the eye, then there is that means the senses, then there is the mind, and behind the mind, and there is ahankaram behind it, and ahankaram behind that there is the atma. So you may say, in drishyam I am seeing so many things, the seer and the seen, so many things, objects I am seeing. Similarly, ahankaram also is a drishyam. But it is something what you will see it. See means not seeing with the eyes. What it means is in your experience level it's there. But it is not something that ahankaram cannot function on its own. Ahankaram requires a power supply, and that comes from the self, from the atma. Because how do we say that? The reason is, suppose the ahankaram disappears, I am still there, is it not? You see, in the deep sleep state, ahankaram dissolves. But I am there in the deep sleep. You will see in the 12th canto spoken about that. Vishwan Taijasam Prajnam. That means Atma, it takes these three roles in three different states. In Jagrat it is called Vishwam. And in the dream state it is called Taijasan. And in the deep sleep state it is called Prajnam. So even when the ahankaram disappears, where does it disappear? Or it dissolves or disappears in the deep sleep state. Even at that state, I am there. So, therefore, there I can observe this, that even when my ahankaram is fully disappearing, at that time, I am aware that ahankaram has disappeared. Because with this I know when I wake up in the morning. Is it not? In deep sleep state, you know very well that you are not there. The so-called you, which you are identifying with, was not there because you are not identifying with anybody in any form. Only bliss was there. Anubhavam of the self was experiencing there, covered with tamogunam. That was the state in the deep sleep state. But in deep sleep also, when you are experiencing that deep sleep and the bliss of the deep sleep, you are not having any identity there. I am. That identity is not there. What you have in the vacant state or in the dream state. It's not there. Only experience, that's all. There is no individuality there, in other words. So in that state, what you had in the deep sleep state, that's not there now in the awakened state, isn't it? It's different again. So now I am aware that the difference between the deep sleep state and the awakened state. In the deep sleep state, without me, that I, my ahankaram, I was experiencing things. Now also I am experiencing things, but with ahankaram, in the awakened state, isn't it? So everything what I am experiencing now, I am very strong within, behind that, my identity is strong. I am eating, I am sleeping, I am walking, I am sitting. In everything, I is present there. It is when the I is present and all my karma, activities, experiences, everything, it cannot stand without I there. I is an important factor there, isn't it? So, but this, when you go into the deep sleep state, without that I, only experience is there. Only experience is there, isn't it? So, what it is indicating to us, this deep sleep state is teaching us that we are not that ahankaram. We are not that ahankaram. That is not our real identity. That is what these three states are teaching us. So, in a very silent way, the Atma is teaching us that in a very silent way, without directly instructing. If it gives us, makes us to think like this, that in vacant state, in everything what I am doing, my identity is important. Even when I go into dream state, my identity is still present there. How come in deep sleep state, my identity is not necessary, but experience is still there? So in a silent way, these three states, Atma is teaching us that ahankaram is not your real identity. It's not your real identity. And that is taught to us by these three states coming one after the other. Jagrat Sapnam Sushupti, Jagrat Sapnam Sushupti, Jagrat Sapnam Sushupti. If you keep on looking at these three states, you will observe this one thing, that in Sushupti state, that ahankaram is not functioning, everything is still there, experience is there, but ahankaram is not there. Whereas in the vacant state and the dream state, you need the ahankaram to experience anything. For example, in the vacant state, when you are talking about your experience, suppose you say, oh, I went to America, it was a lovely holidays I had there. Who had the holiday? Your ahankaram had the holiday, isn't it? Or you went for any other program and you say it was good, you enjoyed that big feast, or you enjoyed the feast, or you went for something else. Anything what you have done anywhere in the vacant state, if that I is not there, it has no meaning. Whereas if you go into the dream state also, even though you have no control over the situation, everything that is experienced is centered around I, that ahankaram. But when you go into deep sleep only, that ahankaram is also not there, but experience is there. That happiness what you are deriving then, that's experience. So this Atma is teaching us that look at these three states and how even your ahankaram is a false thing which is disappearing in the, dissolving in the deep sleep state. And therefore, to say to us that that is not also your real identity. It's not your real identity. And through all these three states, is dependent on that I, real I, which is the self, and to turn our attention towards that. And that is what he is saying there in that seventh verse. Tavanayam vavahara sadavi kshetratnya sakshyo bhavadi stula sushmam tasman mano lingam adovadandi guna gunatusya paravarasyam. Tavanayam vivahara sadavil kshetratnya sakshyo bhavadi stula sushpam tasman mano lingam adovadandi guna gunatusya paravarasyam. Paravarasya, that means that that tasman mano lingamado vadandi guna gunatvasya paravarasya. So mind has got two form. When it goes outside, then that it's called bahirmukham, going out. That's the nature of bahirmukham. And it will go towards sense objects and it will entangle us with sense enjoyment. It will bind us. Bondage will come from that. The same mind, when it becomes inward looking, antarmukham, when it goes like that, it is happiness. It is happiness because if it goes outside, bahirmukham means dukham, antarmukham means sukham. Antarmukham means inward looking, it is sukham. Bahirmukham means going outward, it is dukham. So, that is what he is saying there, that gunanurattam vyasanaya jando, 8th verse, kshemaya nairgunya madho manasyal, yadha pradipo grithavartim ashnan, shikha sadhumam bhajadi anyadaswam, padam tadha gunakarmanya baddam, vrittir manashraide anyatra tatvam. According to the way the mind operates, mind goes gunanurektam. It is attached to the three modes of material nature present in the mind. Mind is also something which you can't catch hold of and say, this is it. Sometimes it is chittavritti, called mind, when it is outside in the world. Because due to contact with the world outside, it creates thoughts inside us. That is the mind. Once it has gone inwards, looking for Atma inside, it takes the form of Atma, because it's an energy from the soul, this mind. And at that time, mind is not chittavritti anymore. It has become completely the self. It becomes identity with the self. Externally, it takes identity with the sense objects and other things. So when this mind goes inwards, antarmukham. Antarmukham means sukham. It is good. Externally means bahirmukham, it is dukham. That's what he is saying in that verse in simple terms. It says, gunanurektam vyasanaya jando, kshemaya nargunya matho manasyal, yadha pradipo gridavarti masnan, shikha sadhumam bhajari anyadaswam, padam tada gunakarmani baddham, vrittirmaya shraide anyatra tatvam. Anyatra tatvam. He says here. So, here, he says that through an example, he is explaining that. How is that example? Example is like that. A lamp is burning. Lamp is burning. The wicks are burning in the lamp. When it's burning, the flame is there, and then the smoke also is coming from that. And the lamp is burning, say for example, if you are using ghee to burn that lamp, and suppose the ghee ran out in the lamp, the flame will go, because there is no more ghee to burn, isn't it? And when the lamp goes off, when the flame goes away, but does that matter? Does it mean that the fire is finished? Agni, has it come to an end? No. Then Agni is not gone, because Agni is called in the Shastram, the world for Agni is Tejas, that's what it's called. Tejas or Agni is one of the five material elements, isn't it? One of the fatal elements. And that Agni is always there, because you can see, as long as you pour the ghee and if you flame light it, again the Agni is coming back. So even though when the ghee has gone out, which was used for burning the lamp, at some point in time, when the ghee runs out, the fire also goes out. But that doesn't mean that Agni is gone forever. Once you pour the ghee, and if you bring the fire, it starts burning again. So Agni has not gone. Agni is still there. The reason is that Ahangaram, what is inside us, suppose it is gone, if you think like that, that does not mean that the Atma is gone. Atma is not gone. Atma is still there. Atma is still there. It is there completely. Atma is still present. And nothing is absent there. Because you can see that Ahangaram is coming back again. An example is similar to that, like this lighting the lamp and the way Ahankaram functions. Ahankaram functions in every one of us. We see Ahankaram goes away in the deep sleep state. It's not there. Dissolved, isn't it? And then in the morning it's coming back again. Exactly like the lamp. As long as there is ghee is poured, and if you light, the fire is burning again. Agni has come back. Agni has not gone. So Agni, fire has come back again. Similarly, in the morning when you wake up, immediately you see the ego has come back because of vacant state. In the vacant state, the Ahankaram has come back again, isn't it? So, suppose the Ahankaram is dead in a person, in the deep sleep, completely destroyed, then it will not come back again in the morning when you wake up. So, and in that case, you have to inject Ahankaram again into it to create that Ahankaram inside. But point is this, that Ahankaram is always in us, in a normal life, in our life. It keeps coming up, disappearing, coming up, disappearing, one after day after day after day, isn't it? So, but that can only happen because of the presence of Atma inside. Because Atma is the power source for this Ahankaram. Ahankaram will keep coming, going all the time. This process will continue throughout life because of the source inside, Atma is present there. So, and because of that, Ahankaram is only appearing in the middle. It's not there in the beginning. And it's not there at the end. There is only Atma present. Because it's present only in the middle, it's not real. As Krishna says in the Chatushloki, isn't it? You remember the second verse there. Hrudayartham yat pradiyeda, mat pradiyeda chaltmani. Ninth chapter?
2, 9, 33 and 34.
Yeah. You know, these Chatushloki and all, you have to keep on applying to the philosophy all the time. Only then it will make substance. Chatushloki is not on its own standing. No. Chatushloki is the message. And that when you apply into the study of our Tattvajnanam, that will make sense. For example, you'll see here. Aham evasam evagre nanyadil sadasal param paschad aham yadedacha yovashishyada sosmiham. First verse. Where he said that beginning only me, Atma exists. End also, Atma exists. And nothing else exists. Then he says, Hrudayartham yal pradiyeda na pradiyeda chalpmani tadvidyad atmano mayam yathabhaso yathatama. That verse. Hrudayartham yal pradiyeda na pradiyeda chalpmani. You are experiencing something because of the presence of Atma inside. Yal pradiyeda chalpmani tadvidyad atmano bhayam yathabhasam yathatama. Therefore, Ahankaram is called Chidabhasam. Abhasam it is. Abhasam means that it is a shadow-like thing which follows the Atma, Chidabhasam. So that is what he is saying there. That so Ahankaram, because it is in the middle only it is seen. In its pure form, in the Atma, Ahankaram doesn't exist. In the realized state, Ahankaram doesn't exist. But in the middle, Ahankaram exists. Therefore, it is not true. To prove that, Ahankaram is a false thing. That's how this false ego came up. The word. The false ego. Why do we call it false ego? We don't say false mind or false intelligence. We call it false ego. Mind, intelligence and false ego, we say. Why do we say like that? Because it is only that in fact, everything else is also false. But ego is a very powerful thing because it's based on ego that all other things are building up. Mind and intelligence and everything. So, to prove this, that Ahankaram because it is in the middle only it is experienced, it's not true. And Gaudapada Acharya, that means Shuga Brahma Rishi's next successor in the tradition, parampara, Gaudapada Acharya says there that Ado andeha vayam nasti vartamane patattada. That means what is there not in the beginning and in the end, it has no existence in the middle either. If something you are seeing in the middle, if it's not there in the beginning and if it's not there in the end, in the middle also it doesn't exist, it's a false thing. It is a false thing. all other things is based on this ahankaram, isn't it? False ego. Because all the other senses are operating, because based on the false ego. All the activities of the senses is based on the false ego. And that you can't even count how many activities of the senses. Crores and crores, isn't it? For example, that means chittavritti. Chittavritti I'm talking about. Every chittavritti is unlimited. Chittavritti happens. Take for example the eye. So with this eye, if I see one person, it creates one chittavritti inside me. Another person, another chittavritti. Another person, another chittavritti. So similarly, with one sense, how many chittavritti it creates? Suppose I use all the five senses. So millions and millions of chittavrittis are created inside all the time. Inside all the time. Every experience with every sense is a vritti. It's called a vritti. So similarly, each and every senses creates its own vritti, and that also has to be taken into account. So that vritti, all happening based on one vastu. Same vastu ahangaram inside. and all of these, where do they all stay? Ultimately, if you look back, you will see all this ahangaram, all this chittavrittis, everything is rooted and grounded in one thing, which is my knowledge, which is my ahanga, which is my ahambodham or awareness. In my awareness, all these things are happening. Is it not? Because ahambodham is the one which gives power to this ahangaram. That is where ahangaram goes and dissolves in ahambodham. So, and then from there, ahankaram is born, like a tree, it grows, and it appears to us that so many things exist here. And even if everything goes and dissolves, finally ahankaram also, like it dissolves, you can see the last thing that dissolves is ahankaram in sleep, isn't it? After the dream state, when you go into deep sleep, see, when you go to sleep, if you observe this, you get tired. You are lying in the bed. At that time also some thoughts are there inside. And then you suddenly, because of your fatigue, you closed your eyes. At that time also completely you are not gone. Say suppose you are experiencing dream state. Then in the dream state you are still, I am there, experiencing that. But as soon as dream state is gone and gone to the deep sleep state, by then all your faculties have gone, closed down, including the ahankaram. So the last one that goes to sleep is ahankaram. And the first one who wakes up in the morning is also ahankaram. Isn't it? So when all these things are happening, that one thing which doesn't dissolve and which doesn't wake up, but unnoticed by everyone all the time, but staying behind the scene of all these things, and acts as a powerhouse for all these things to happen, he is the self. He is the self. That is what here you will see our Brahmana is saying this to Rahugana. Making Rahugana a little bit more things clearer. He says to Rahugana that is Kshetrajnyam Alpa Purusha Puranam Sachal Swayam Jodi Raja Parasha Paresha Narayano Bhagavan Vasudeva Samaya Yatmanyavadhiyamanaha Kshetrajnyam Alpa Purusha Purana Swachal Swayam Jodi Raja Paresha Narayano Bhagavan Vasudeva Samaya Yatmanyavadhiyamana. That talking about Kshetrajnya. Kshetrajnya is like this, Alpa. Kshetrajnya is Alpa. He is Purusha. He is Purana. He is the original Jyoti, Sakshal Swayam Jyoti Raja Paresha. And he is called Narayana. And he is Vasudeva. So Maya Yalpanya Vadhiyamanam. And untouched by the influence of Maya at any time. And that controls everybody. Who? Alma. He controls everybody, including Lord Brahma and others. And what is the nature of that Alma? Swayam Jyoti. It doesn't require any help of anything else. It can make you conscious of its presence without the help of anything else. And that is that awareness is what is present in all of us as I am, I am, I am. All the time in the form of awareness inside us. All the time. Like we can say that we know about ourselves that I exist. I don't require any certification or any authorization from anybody. Because I am aware of that, my existence, isn't it? Which doesn't go even when I lose this body, which still goes along with me. So without the help of any senses, you don't need any senses even to understand the presence of that. And in fact, only if that awareness is in me, I can recognize the presence of somebody else. Is it not? My own existence, I don't require any help. No light required, and no senses required, no third agency necessary for me to know about myself. I am existing. Whether you accept it or not, that's another thing. But for me to accept the presence of another jiva or another matter, mic or whatever, chair, table, anything, I require this, my presence, awareness. That is one thing that consciousness, pure consciousness is talking about. And so anything else, if I want to know outside me, I need the help of that Alma. And because here I don't require anything. For example, even in a dark room, if I sit there, I'm conscious of my existence without light, without anybody telling me. My existence is known to me. My existence is known to me. So, to know somebody else or something else, I need the presence of Alma. That is why it says Swayam Jyoti. See that word used there? Swayam Jyoti. Swayam Jyoti means what? This. That Kshetrajna, in different ways, different terminologies used, pointing out to the same thing. Kshetrajna, Alma, Purusham, Purana, Sakshal Swayam Jyoti. Swayam Jyoti. That is the beauty of that. This Swayam Jyoti nature. Swayam Jyoti. Krishna also says this in the Bhagavad Gita. In the 13th to 18th chapters, you will see told way. The nature of Alma. Swayam Jyoti. It can illuminate. It is enlightened itself. It doesn't require any other source to explain what it is. It can explain itself. It doesn't require any other force to explain it. Whereas everything else, for example, if I want to talk about this mic, I need my senses, I need my intelligence, I need my mind to explain this mic. But Alma's nature, its own, it has got everything, isn't it? That is the realized state. Ulkramandam sthitam vabi, bunjanam va gunanyutam, vimutha nanyu pashyandi, pashyandi jnana chakshusha. Famous words in the Bhagavad Gita, 13, 14 chapter, somewhere there. So you'll see that bunjanam va gunanyidam vimutha nanu pashyanti. Ignorant person doesn't see this Alma present inside. Pashyanti jnana chakshusha. One who has got the eyes of knowledge, he can see that this is working because of the presence of Alma, not otherwise. It's not possible. So, saying that there, that that, and he is referred to. Even though all these things, which means Kshetrajna Alma Purusha Puranam Sakshal Swayam Jyoti Raja Paresha, he is called Narayana, Bhagavan Vasudeva. So Maya Alpanya Vadhiyamanam. So devotees will call him as Narayana, Vasudeva and all that. Any names, whatever that is being addressed to. And Jnani will say that he is the Swayam Jyoti, that awareness inside. That awareness inside. So, Narayana means the shelter of all the living entities. All the living entities. So in that Narayana, all these living entities are appearing. It is dissolving there. But it is all dependent on that vastu. Vastu, Atma Swarupam, and once you come to that realization, Bharata Maharshi is saying, Brahmana is saying to Rahugana, there will be no difference between me and you. Between me and you, there is no difference existing. Once you have realized that, because the vastu from there, all these different bodies, forms and different angarams are born, is from that vastu. When ahangaram completely disappears, and if you go back to the very basis, then that basis is one. There is not many. There is only one. That's why earlier he said, ekam. Earlier he was saying this, isn't it? So, and he gives the example that how in different moving and non-moving objects, vayu, air is present there. Similarly, Krishna has entered into all living entities. All living entities, Krishna has entered into it, and in the form of awareness, as Antaryami present in there, and all these different names and forms have appeared in this world, and we feel that at that time, Dvaitam is there. Dvaitam. We feel, I am different, you are different, he is different, she is different. All these differences come only when you come to, come down to that level of into the Ahangaram level. Only in that Ahangaram level all these differences exist. And up to the point when you do not know about the presence of the soul inside, till then you have no other choice except to get caught up in this material existence. That's what he's saying there in the 15th verse. He says, Yadha nilasthavara jangamanam atmasvarupena nivishtamishel evam paro bhagavan vasudeva kshetrajnam atmedam anupravishtaha. That is what he is saying there. That you have no choice there. That this is, Bhagavatam is teaching this in a very, very subtle level, that you have to know this Atma present inside, otherwise there is no escape from this material existence. No choice there till you get to that, hit that base. On a superficial level, if you keep on talking about Namarupam, different forms, Dvaitam, you can carry on doing this. But material miseries, you won't escape from that. It will be there. Till you hit that base, which is Atma, like Parikshit did and many others. And in the Bhagavatam, you can see Krishna had a relationship with the gopis. Rasa Krita, Rasa Dance, everything happened. And to the extent possible, on a physical level, they were closer to Krishna. Isn't it? On a physical level. On a mental level also, they were very much close to Krishna, the gopis. But even after that, the distress has not gone away from their heart. When Krishna went to Mathura, they were in distress. They were in distress. Although, on a physical level, on a mental level, they were closer to Krishna. But when Krishna left to Mathura, they felt unhappy. What is that indicating to us is this, that so long as you remain in the platform of the body, platform of the mind, even if you have developed the maximum attachment to Krishna in the level of body and the mind, still material miseries won't let you go. They will still come back, and the proof of that is this, that when Krishna went to Mathura, the gopis felt unhappy. Gopis felt unhappy. What was unhappiness? Krishna is gone. That unhappiness, isn't it? So, material freedom from material misery, that means material existence, never to get that distress again, come back to us, that is what it means, that end of material existence. End of material existence means that material miseries should not disturb us anymore. Only then you can say that you are freed from the material existence. Suppose you are getting disturbed about something again, then that shows that something wrong in your realization, understanding, isn't it? So, and if that has to happen, you have to realize the self, there is no other choice. There is no other choice. And that is why this Sagunam Nirgunam has come. Sagunobhasana, that means the worship of the form. And Sagunobhasana, it will never finish there. that Sagunobhasanayil, Sagunobhasana actually, Sagunobhasana means this form worship of the deity and other things, that takes you to bring your mind more focused on the knowledge of the self, and ultimately through that process of the worship of the deity, the mind gets destroyed, completely destroyed, and it is at that time you can say that you are completely free from the miseries of material existence. And you can see in the Bhagavadam, it is at that stage when Krishna left and went to Mathura, and Gopi started feeling miserable. Krishna sent Uddhava there to talk to Gopis, isn't it? Went to Gopis and spoke to him. Even after that, Gopis were not completely completely freed from the miseries of material life. And that is the reason why second time Krishna himself directly instructed the gopis in the solar eclipse, in the Samanta Panchakam. Second time this happened. Uddhava spoke some things to gopis when he came to Vrindavanam. You remember in the 47th verse, chapter, you will see in the 10th canto. And there Uddhava is talking to gopis about the transcendental knowledge, about how the Atma is one which goes through different states, everything. Even after Uddhava has spoken to the gopis, gopis still had a little difficulty. Afterwards, they were still feeling unhappiness. And that unhappiness completely gone when Krishna spoke to the gopis later in Samanta Panchakam, in the solar eclipse. That is why in the Bhagavadam, to show to us that whatever you may have realized externally, it can only give you relief from material existence, material miseries, up to a point. Finally, if it has to go totally from inside, then pure transcendental knowledge from Krishna has to come to us. And when that's given finally, once for all, that means gopis touch that base in Samanta Panchakam, in the solar eclipse. How do you know that? If you look into that Samanta Panchakam chapter, you will see that when the gopis left, only about gopis it spoken, they had no mind anymore. It says they had no more mind. So you can see a very higher philosophical principle through these stories. Shukha Brahmarshi is explaining to us that about everybody else it hasn't been spoken, only about the gopis it's spoken like that. Because in that solar eclipse, people from all parts of the country came there. There were people from all places in the solar eclipse. But when they all left, Shukha Brahmarshi didn't say about them the same thing. Only about the gopis, Shukha Brahmarshi says, they left without their mind. What does that mean? It means that when they had that meeting with Krishna, Krishna has completely made them aware that they are Atma, which means that once you have realized you are Atma, then there is no thing called mind anymore. Not that mind is something that you can pull it out and put it somewhere and go away like that. It's not that. The force called mind, which comes from the self, is not manifesting anymore for the gopis. That's what has happened. So, all these things in the Bhagavadam, beauty of Bhagavadam is that it is spoken through all these relationships to the gopis and Krishna and Uddhava and all that, through personalities. But we have to know how to connect this link, the thread that is running through all these things, this philosophy that touching the Atma is more important than realizing the self, is the only way to free ourselves from the distress of this world. Otherwise, as long as you are thinking in terms of name and form and people and relationships and this, that and the other, the material problems of material life will also affect us. You won't be able to keep out of it. We'll talk tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada.